I said hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. If your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. So rock it out, baby Baba. To the bang bang boogie, say, up jump the boogie. To the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's up? I dedicate this to my Haina Sad Girl. It's a little Always and Forever, dog, from Heat Wave. This goes out to you, baby. I love you. Te quiero mucho. And your fupa. I love you, honey.
Do the honey boo-boo-bop. Honey boo-boo-bop. Do the honey boo-boo-bop. Honey boo-boo-bop. Do the honey boo-boo-bop.
I am very disappointed in both of you.
Oh, my God, man. We are seeing some we have never seen before.
Your body looks amazing. I haven't seen your pubic hair in a long time.
I just grew it back.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Looks like the gang's all here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Can't tell me nothing.
Roll another one.
But nerds are my mortal enemy.
Just like the other one.
Hot fudge, holy moly.
This one seems to be about to quit.
And I thrive to be you every day.
And
It's our time to shine.
Where's Mickey Dolenz?
Roll another one.
You feel your booty.
Just like the other one.
Why would you do that?
This one seems to be about to end.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
I don't have another cent.
Make your dreams come true. Just do it.
Don't bogart that joint.
Turn up the radio.
Just pass it around.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Well, there's my favorite slice of fun.
I thought you said you had a nicer house.
We do.
But it's still in the valley.
That's where people live.
No. People don't live in the valley. They exist.
Our feature presentation.
Sometimes not even that. The valley's rough. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It is Friday, the 2nd of October.
What's crackling, you guys?
You know.
Crappy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Really? Crappy stuff?
It's kind of a bummer day, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think there's bad news every day. There's also good news.
Okay.
You know me, I'm an optimist.
That's what you're known for.
That is terrifying.
Right. I'm Mr. Positive. You guys know that.
Sure.
Well, we do have it is Friday. I mean, for starters, right there. That's a good thing.
All right.
Yeah. We do have a big show today. I do have an interesting story to start with, and I'll start by asking you guys a question. You probably don't expect to end up on death row. I know I don't. I don't think that's in my future.
I can only speak for myself, but I don't see myself there either. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Allie, you think it's likely you'll end up on death row?
Less than likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you were, though, and the day came for, I guess it's usually at night, the night came for your lethal execution, mm-hmm. you ever give any thought to what your last meal would be? Like, what's the thing that you would want to remember as they put the needle in your arm?
No.
Like the satisfied belly full of food.
No, I never thought of that.
What would it be? Do you think you'd eat? You think you'd be too nervous to eat? I feel like I wouldn't want to eat. But then again, what are you saving it for, you know?
Sounds like you're way ahead of us in the thought process.
Right.
We're just starting
to
entertain the
idea. You've never given any thought
to
what your last meal would be? Like when you hear stories on the news about a prisoner and they reveal in the news coverage what his last meal was, you never think, oh, I wouldn't eat that. I'd eat this.
No. Mm-mm. I do if you were stranded on an island. What food would you have? And then you have to eat that for the rest of time. I do that one.
And that's Oreos, well, sure. Right? That's the only possible answer there.
Lasagna.
We all know
ice
that.
Cream.
It's Oreos. I don't know. Allie, any thought at all to a last meal?
I have never thought that, but I'm going to have to go pizza because
I'm
allergic to cheese. So it's my last meal.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Oh,
let's go out big.
But there's no part of you that thinks, what about the poor sap who works at the prison who then has to clean you up?
Nope.
What?
Okay. That's their problem, right? That's the problem for the living. Right. How about you, Chip?
It's a dark conversation.
Right. Not at all, Bean.
Why do you say it with such derision?
Because it's you.
Well, there is a last meal in the news right now. There's a guy in Oklahoma who has been on death row since, he was convicted in 1997. So I assume it was sometime after that he was convicted. He was sentenced to death. He was charged with and convicted of killing the owner of an Oklahoma City motel that he managed. But it has been a very controversial case that I have not followed closely. A lot of people have been involved saying there is very little evidence in this case, and many people believe he is innocent. The Pope has asked the governor of Oklahoma to commute the death sentence, but the Pope's against all death penalties.
Right.
Susan Sarandon, death penalty opponent, Sister Helen Prejean, have both come out against the death sentence. Richard Branson took out a full-page advertisement in the newspaper in Oklahoma saying there's a breathtaking lack of evidence in the case. So a lot of people have been following with interest this case, and this week was the night that he was to be executed. So he got the opportunity to eat his last meal. He chose a meal of over 5,000 calories at one meal.
Well, that's sort of what Ali's thinking is just go out big.
Just go big, yeah.
Sure, exactly. A medium double bacon, double cheese pizza from Pizza Hut. Mm. Why get a medium, by the way?
Right?
Yeah.
Medium double bacon, double cheese pizza from Pizza Hut. He also had an order of fish and chips from Long John Silver's. And he got a Baconator along with a strawberry malt from Wendy's. He
wow.
ate all
He's
of it.
He's your people, Kevin.
He's my peeps.
Right? He's going out big.
Love it.
Ate every bit of it.
Is there
5,000 plus calories.
Is there a limit to what they'll give you?
Right, they're like, this is the eighth restaurant right. we're going to.
Seriously.
I can't.
Wendy's, really? Okay. All right. But this
Look,
is the last
some
one.
Some of us have things to do later today. You don't. Well, after he had completed his meal, word came that his execution had been stayed by the Oklahoma governor. How crazy is that? He was returned back to his cell and told that they would do it again in 37 days. He got a stay of execution for a month. After he had already eaten his last meal. So now he's got that stomachache to deal with. Apparently what had happened is, in Oklahoma, and maybe this is true around the country, the prison officials do not get the drugs that they're using for the lethal execution until the day of the execution.
Oh.
And at the last minute, they realized that they had received potassium acetate instead of the potassium chloride that they were meant to get.
That scares
so
me.
So they did not have
hey,
the
Hey, sorry about
drugs.
That whole wrong drug thing.
The whole mix-up, yeah.
Wow.
So how about a roller coaster of emotions plus a stomachache for this guy, Richard Glossop, by the way?
So does he go with the same meal in 30-some-odd days, or does he switch
I bet
it
he
up?
Does it.
He's like, let's do Thanksgiving.
Yep. I would imagine he would switch it up because now he's already experienced and enjoyed that and probably not enjoyed it so much in the days to come after he ate all that. But that's kind of pretty close, by the way, when you get the stay of execution after you've already had your last meal. I mean, that you got to figure you're within a couple of hours of being led down the hall at that point.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that ever, right?
No.
It's done. It's on. You're going.
I thought it was only in the movies where that phone rings just before midnight, you know, as they're strapping you in. So, well, listen, next time we talk about this, I want to hear some last meals from you guys. Give this some thought, man. You got to be prepared for any eventuality in this life.
I don't feel like we need to be prepared for our meal on death
I'm
row.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
I mean, this is not right, and that's all I want to say about that.
It is Friday, so we have the Movie Beat with Ralph Garman. It's Friday, so we also talk NFL Week 4 with R.J. Bell.
Loser.
Right? Ugh,
didn't he promise us 100%?
I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
No.
I think it's impossible to not pick the correct games.
Brand new internet roundup for you. We have the host of The Amazing Race, Phil Kogan, who will come
Love
in the studio.
Phil.
So
don't make
great.
Us all feel bad about ourselves.
And also Oscar De La Hoya, boxing legend in studio.
He's the silver pony, right?
How about that?
He's the golden boy.
Golden boy.
That's what it is. I knew it was something close to that.
Wow. Silver pony.
Whatever it is.
Just got to wait for that to sink in, then I'll hit the commercial. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Friday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the show. Good morning, Mr. Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls. Season premiere of Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Okay.
You can look for Hillary Clinton to make an appearance, says the New York Times. Oh, good. It's nice to see politics and showbiz finally crossing paths. I've been waiting for that for a while.
What?
Yeah.
Apparently
she's been funny on that show before.
Apparently she will appear with Kate McKinnon, who normally plays Hillary on the show, so I'm guessing there will be some sort of interaction between the two. Hillary meets Hillary. Hillary talks in a mirror. Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. This is the second time she's appeared on the show. She did it back in 2008 when Amy Poehler was playing her on Saturday Night Live. So chaos and hilarity will ensue, I'm sure.
I know how much you don't watch Saturday Night Live, Ralph.
Will you be
not watching it even more this weekend with Miley Cyrus hosting?
Oh, my dear sweet Jesus, heaven, God, no. Please, please make it not so. While we're talking about television and politics, Donald Trump said don't look for him to run any TV spots for his campaign anytime soon. Well, that's a good idea because it's still a year out. He says on New Hampshire Today he was appearing.
Okay.
I'm sure just he was just vacationing, I'm sure, in New Hampshire. I'm sure it has no political bent whatsoever, but he appeared on the morning show and said, I thought I would have spent about $20 million for advertising, you know, up to this point, right? I've spent nothing, he said. I can't advertise because I'm getting so much coverage. It would be, you'd OD on Trump. You understand? That's overdose on Trump, he made.
Clarify that.
Clear for anyone who doesn't know what OD means. He added, like, People Magazine has a beautiful article today. You know, it's a cover story. And I have so much stuff. If I ever did that, let's say you have a show on television, the whole thing's Trump, and then on top of it you have Trump commercials too. People would get sick. They'd say, it's too much, I can't take anymore. Oh, would people say that, Donald, about you? How is that possible? How
is
could we ever
Trump
get sick of you?
Referring to himself in the third person
continuously? Oh, a whole bunch. Sure. A whole lot. A whole mess. And how can you tell when Taylor Swift is lying?
If she opens her mouth?
Her lips are moving. That's right. The evil one is once again spreading her lies and hatred. Tadoff Switler made a big deal about the fact that the tabloid said she was buying a mansion in Beverly Hills in preparation to marry Calvin Harris. And she said, oh, stupid tabloids. Tabloids are stupid, lying tabloids. I'm playing a concert in St. Louis. How can I be buying a home in Beverly Hills, lying liars who lie? Here's the only problem. She was the liar! Because someone did, in fact, purchase legendary movie mogul Samuel Goldman's estate in Beverly Hills. The mystery buyer, it turns out according to paperwork, owns a company in Nashville, and the address of that business would be Taylor Swift's home. So she made a big deal of saying, no, I didn't. I'm playing a concert. How can I buy a house? Meanwhile, she was buying a house in Beverly Hills. She just wasn't actually physically in Beverly Hills at the time.
But you can buy a house without being there.
Yes, you can, Kevin. Thank God someone's telling the truth around here. And that would be you, Kevin, not the woman in this story, Kevin.
Why would she deny that?
Because she can't help herself. She's a pathological liar. She's evil. She kills spiders. I know that much.
A lot.
All the spiders in her house, murdered.
Maybe she doesn't want people to think she keeps buying houses near guys she dates. Because she does.
Yeah, that could be.
She's the worst, right? Yeah. Everybody with me?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Everybody.
Good. As long as we're all on the same
100%.
Page. 100%. And Billy Joe Armstrong's sons get into the family business. Billboard.com says 16-year-old Jacob Danger. That's right. You heard me.
Yeah.
Is about to release his debut EP. It'll be out on Burger Records, which is also where you find Jacob's older brother, Joey, the drummer for a band on that label. A few songs are already up on YouTube, by the way, if you want to check out some of Jacob's work, including King of the World, which features his brother, Joey, on drums.
Anyone heard any of this yet?
I have not.
Omar just sent in a clip.
Oh,
really? I'd love to hear some of Billy Joe Armstrong's teenage son.
You better have, or else I'm going to come over and punch you in the head.
I'm just a small town girl.
Oh, no. Come on, Ralph.
Don't actually hit her, Ralph.
Come on.
Come on.
Hey.
Hit a man.
Come on, man.
We're having fun, right?
Right in the head.
That was a pretty big setup, though, Ralph. I couldn't.
By the way, in case you're curious, Jacob's real last name is Armstrong, just like Dad's. Why does he go by Jacob Danger?
His middle name is Danger.
Because Danger is his middle name.
Oh, behave. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tiffany. Tiffany's 44 years old today.
She used to play in Balls. People
we know
Tiffany.
Who she is, but what's
fuzzy feelings about
She's not a puppy.
Tiffany.
She's not a bunny.
First of all, only girls make that noise, right?
And not even then.
Yeah, true. Isolate that chip. We're going to need it.
Actress, you feel me on awe, right?
I love Tiffany. Absolutely. Yeah,
that wasn't the question.
Would you ever say,
if she was holding a puppy?
But she's not. It's just her birthday. No.
So no.
Camilla Bell is 29 years old today. Lovely and talented actress. Yeah. She's got Bell in her name, man.
Well, that's what I thought. Lake Bell and Kristen Bell and Catherine Bell, they all are Bell-worthy, so I assume she is too.
Right. Comedian Brian Regan is 58 years old today. Actress Lorraine Bracco. You remember her, of course, from Goodfellas and The Sopranos, 61 years old. Sting is 64. And TV show host Kelly Ripa. Is 45 years old. The Ripa and the Terra. The Ripa and
Terra.
She's 45. I'm Rob Garman. I'm working with Jimmy B.
Lots of good stuff on today's show, including our friend Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. He'll be joining us. Oscar De La Hoya on the program today. We also got tickets for Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights you can win. We'll get you inside the Red Bull Sound Space coming up at K-Rock with the ex-ambassadors and give you a chance to win a new Jeep Renegade. All that coming up here this morning on K-Rock. Got some sad news yesterday. I got an email around noon or something from a guy who said he was the uncle of Johnny Strange, the adventurer, who we've had on the program a number of times over the years. Consider him a good friend of the show. Just talked to him earlier this week, believe it or not. And the uncle said that he wanted to alert us to the fact that Johnny had passed away wingsuiting in a... so sorry. Choked up there. Wingsuiting off a mountain in Switzerland. And of course, I didn't believe it. There's always crazy stuff on the internet. So I emailed Dave, and he had shortly after that gotten another email from a different member of the family telling us about it. We tracked it down, and sure enough, it was true.
He was on that mountain when we talked to him. I think on Monday was it?
Mm-hmm. Monday, right? We talked to him on Monday, and he was disappointed that day because the weather had turned. It was cloudy or foggy or something like that. And he wasn't able to do the jump that he was doing. But when we talked to him, I mean, who sounded happier than Johnny Strange when he was out doing these crazy things that he's been doing since he was a little kid? You know, Kevin, you know, he got in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the youngest person to climb the highest mountain on every continent. He climbed the one in Antarctica when he was 12.
Yeah. I remember when we first had him on, we were like, dude, you're making us all look bad.
Right.
Slow down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. He was an adrenaline junkie. That's how he lived his life. That's why he's no longer with us. But no one enjoyed his life more than Johnny Strange did. He base jumped from the Grand Canyon. He was the guy you'd see on the YouTube videos surfing 30-foot waves in Hawaii. He skateboarded down the side of the mountain. I mean, he did everything. The guy lived every minute of every day. But it still was such a kick to the gut, A, because 23 years old, it's ridiculous to lose somebody, and B, because we had so much affection for him. You know, we enjoyed every time we got a chance to talk to him. We just had so much fun with him.
The other thing that I really, really admired about him is he would always tie it to a charity.
Right.
Yeah. Like when he was 17, he was trying to raise money to eradicate Parkinson's and make people aware of genocide. When he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very smart. He not only was, was very brave and adventurous and just a super funny, super nice guy. But as Kevin said, he really had his heart in the right place in terms of helping other people. I mean, it would have been really easy for him to be self-absorbed, but he wasn't. But we love this kid, and we're going to really, really miss him. And what's this piece of tape that we have, Kevin?
This is Omar went back through some of the interviews that we've done with him, sometimes in studio, sometimes on the phone, including the one this past Monday. And it's just kind of highlighting who he is and what he did.
17-year-old Johnny Strange.
Climb every mountain.
Who apparently is climbing or has climbed the tallest mountain on every continent. You started mountain climbing at how old?
When I was 12. I was dumb enough to get into it.
Okay. And clearly you got into it because there was something about it that seemed fun or fascinating to you, right?
Yeah, I kind of really liked the idea of the challenge. And then a lot of people said I couldn't do it, so I just said I could and got myself into it, and then I just fell in love with it.
Okay. And what was the first big mountain that you climbed?
Mount Vincent Massif in Antarctica. And then I went over to Africa and climbed Kilimanjaro.
Sure. And you're what? You're 13 at this point?
Yeah. I'm doing some of these adventures to raise awareness for Parkinson's and raise awareness for genocide.
I like to downhill skate, big wave surf,
right.
Base jump, mountain climb, and pretty much most of the things like the group I do all these sports with. We pretty much cover it all.
Tell people what you've done so far.
Well, I'm the youngest to climb the tallest mountain on every continent.
Wow.
And then I was recently at the South Pole.
Uh-huh.
I actually got naked at the South Pole.
Naked at the South Pole?
Okay. Sure you did.
And then and then I'm going to the North Pole, and then we're going to go base jump, wingsuit, fly these cliffs
in
Switzerland. It's one of my favorite sports. I'm trying to do this thing called the Adventures Grand Slam. That's you climb the tallest mountain on every continent, go to the South Pole and the North Pole.
Uh-huh.
And there's this other thing called the Three Poles, which is top of Mount Everest, South and North Pole.
Right.
And I have all the other things done.
Now, how many people have done the Adventures Grand Slam?
In history, probably like 12 or 13.
12 or 13.
Yeah, but I'll be the youngest by probably, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, you'll have accomplished all this before you're 20.
Yeah.
So when are you supposed to swim the English Channel, Johnny?
Next year. We were going to do it this year, but then we went to Bhutan. And I met with the king and the prince.
Right. Me too.
It's a really weird story. We're talking about doing some climbing and some adventures there. I do these crazy sports and maybe just put a flag or whatever. And most people, most educated people or adults would look at me and be like, what does this have to do with extreme sports? This doesn't make any sense, whatever.
But some of the ones that you pick is like genocide.
I know, but the reason I do that is because I put genocide and the kid watching the video will be like, what's genocide? And then they go and that person looks at it and then he Googles genocide and he starts self-educating himself.
So I see. All
what,
right.
What I'm trying to do is instead of making a video of this is what genocide is, blah, 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 and that person's listening like, oh, that's cool, I forget about it.
Right.
I want that person to self-educate themselves. So by randomly putting it in, I'm hopefully planting a seed that teaches kids to self-educate. I always get asked, is that your real name? Is Johnny Strange,
right?
It is. When I was younger, it's weird. Like, you'd get made fun of in elementary school. Like, oh, your name's Johnny Strange, blah, blah. Now I'm older, people are like, oh, why'd you create a fake stage name? It's like no, I didn't.
You can't win either way.
Right? My little sister, McKenna Strange, older sister, Brianna Strange.
That's so funny. And now that your lifestyle matches Johnny Strange, doesn't matter.
I'm just a weird person, man. I think we all are. I think the people who try to hide that they're not weird are just hiding something.
Say they're normal.
Yeah. What is normal?
I hear you.
Sanity's overrated.
You skateboarded down the 405 to the 101.
Yeah, I skated down the 405 when it was closed. And then I was
didn't
like,
look closed.
Well, that was the 101 wasn't closed.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that was sweet. Let's go do the 101. And it wasn't closed. It was full traffic. It might have been the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Yes.
My parents were not happy.
Right.
Every time I do anything with danger, I look at the worst case scenarios, and that's what I run through my head 24/7. And I think about what would I do in any possible situation, and always plan for the worst.
Right.
So with all this stuff, I'm always thinking of, oh, bad stuff is going to happen, and then if anything good happens, it was better than
fantastic.
Better than the plan.
Weren't you the youngest guy to climb the highest mountain on all seven continents? That was you, right?
Yep, I used to be me.
That used to be you. Oh, did somebody come along and do it younger than you?
Yeah.
Son of a
what a bitch!
Yeah, I'm actually on a mountain right now. We're climbing something in Switzerland and then wingsuit base jumping off of it. We just got weathered pretty good, so we're gonna have to down climb most of it because we can't jump in these conditions. So I hope you guys can hear me okay.
Every time we have you on, I crack up at the crazy life that you were living. You seem like you really do enjoy yourself every day, which I love.
Oh, yeah, I love this stuff.
Be safe, Johnny. We always appreciate having you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You guys are the best station in the world.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, sir. Bye-bye.
That dude.
That was from this past Monday on the Kevin Bean Show. Johnny Strange calling us from Switzerland. Listen to this email I got. Dear Kevin Bean, my name is Michael. I'm writing you this email. This was from yesterday to regretfully inform you that our dear friend Johnny passed away this morning while wingsuiting in Switzerland. He loved you guys. He always raved about you before and after being on your show, so I wanted you to hear the news from one of his friends. My roommate Brett and I were very close friends with Johnny. We all met as fraternity brothers at USC. We were best friends in college and have been hanging out almost every day until he left for Switzerland 4 days ago. We miss him immensely, and the world truly already feels less badass without him in it. Here's a quote from Johnny's blog in August of 2012. I know some people think what I do is irresponsible because of the risk, but the day I let my fear deter my ability to follow my dreams, I have already died. I will, as well as everyone else, die someday, but on this day, I was more alive than I have ever been before. Pour one out for Johnny. Best regards, Michael. I had to look it up. I don't know anything about this Coleman Hell. That's his new song called Two Heads here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada.
That's right, eh?
He's a singer, songwriter, and musician. That's his new song. Again, Coleman Hell is the name on K-Rock. It's Friday morning. That means Rob is here, and it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
My favorite time of the movie year is the fall. This is the sweet spot. This is when you've overdosed on your big budget CGI blockbusters all summer long, and they're not quite jamming the Christmas movies down your throat. This is the sweet spot. This is the sweet, sweet, juicy, meaty fall section of movie time where it's just interesting, small, big comedy, drama. You get a cross-section of films this time of year that you can't get any other time. And I got to tell you, this week, every one of these movies I would absolutely go to see. Any, pick one. Pick one out of a hat. Boom! I'm there.
No kidding.
That's how good the batch is this weekend.
That's rare.
Let's start off with a movie that just looks quirky and weird and funny and hilarious and stars some of my favorite people. Judy Greer, Natasha Lyonne, Aubrey Plaza, all star in a film called Addicted to Fresno, which is in limited release.
This looks so funny, Ralph.
What? Yeah. Yes.
I'm just with you. I'm just sharing your excitement for this film. That's
okay.
All.
Gotcha. Addicted to Fresno is the
name. But it's funny.
Can he hear me? Does he know I'm speaking?
Yes. When he does that?
Addicted to Fresno stars.
Tell us about it.
Judy Greer and Natasha Lyonne is two sisters who are just codependent. Both of them are a mess. They work as hotel maids in Fresno, California. Wow. You'd think that'd be depressing as hell. But this is a comedy. And Judy Greer is a sex addict. They're just desperate to get out of Fresno. And really, who isn't, quite frankly? Here are some clips from the trailer of Addicted to Fresno.
I think you've ever been in love.
I'm not good with emotions.
Really?
I've never been to a wedding.
I went to one, but it doesn't really count because we eloped.
My life is pretty sweet.
You're a maid in Fresno.
My sister's a liar. She's selfish. She's ungrateful. And she can't get her life together.
Did I just kill someone?
You killed an Olympian.
Only if you consider hammer throw a sport, which...
You're a sociopath.
We want $25,000 to get out of this butt crack.
There's no way we can come up with $25K in 3 days.
We're in Fresno.
Yeah, it looks funny. Great cast. Also in limited release this weekend, John Cusack stars in a cool-looking period piece drama involving an American expatriate who goes to Shanghai in the months before Pearl Harbor due to the death of his friend and gets caught up in some local gangland activity. It looks sort of like a Casablanca vibe to me. John Cusack's in this. David Morris is also in this. Yun Fat Chow, who's just a terrific actor. Here is some scenes, clips from the movie called Shanghai.
My friend was an American agent.
I saw this man with Lanting.
He's head of Japanese intelligence.
I'd be careful.
I just need to find out who killed my friend.
Connor called me before he died. He asked me to draw up a list of all the ships in our East China fleet.
There are 9 Japanese warships missing. From the main fleet, we have no idea where the hell they are.
First fleet bomb, Pearl Harbor.
Imagine if you knew before Pearl Harbor happened that it was going to happen.
Crazy.
And you're an American stuck in Shanghai.
It's kind of like when the government planned 9/11, you know, that kind of intel.
Exactly. Freeheld is also opening up in limited release this weekend based on the true story of a New Jersey police lieutenant and her registered domestic partner battling to secure her pension benefits when she's diagnosed with terminal cancer. Julianne Moore stars as the cop, Ellen Page as her, what we would consider wife, but at the time this story takes place, she was her domestic partner. And you have to remember, although domestic partnership was a thing, they did not have all the same rights as a married couple. And this is the story of one couple who fought for those rights. Michael Shannon is also in the film. He's always terrific, plays Julianne Moore's partner in this film. And Steve Carell as the self-described gay, middle-class lawyer from New York who tries to help them secure their benefits. This movie looks outstanding, getting great reviews and limited release. Here's some clips from the trailer of Freeheld.
Recently, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. When my heterosexual colleagues die, their pensions go to their spouses. But because my partner is a woman, I don't get to do that. I'm only asking for equality.
It's an outrageous miscarriage of justice. Their next meeting, we show up with 100 protesters.
Radicals and strangers from New York aren't going to convince these guys.
I am not a radical. I am a middle-class Jewish homosexual from New Jersey. How about you, sweetheart?
I'm a straight, white, ex-Protestant, atheist cop. You okay with that, sweetheart?
I am. That is very hot.
That's very hot. The Walk opens up this weekend. IMAX. It's an IMAX. He's walking on a tightrope in IMAX.
I'm getting dizzy just hearing you talk about it.
Robert Zemeckis is the director. Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars as legendary high-wire artist Philippe Petit. True story, 1974, he recruited a team of people to help him realize his dream, to walk the void between the World Trade Center towers. This is a bad idea. And yet he goes forward with it. Ben Kingsley also stars. Great cast. Robert Zemeckis, always a terrific actor. Here's a scene where Jogolev is telling his lady what his dream is. He wants to make that walk.
Two magnificent towers. 100 meters taller than the Eiffel Tower itself.
I see.
What do you think?
I don't know. It looks so... so...
beautiful.
Beautiful, yes. And dangerous and completely insane, and you're a madman.
Yes, I am mad, but this... this is my dream.
Yes, I want to walk on the wire. With ballet slippers on and a long pole.
And lastly, The Martian in wide release this weekend. Ridley Scott directs based on the wildly popular novel about a manned mission to Mars and the astronaut who gets left behind. He's presumed dead after a fierce storm and his crew takes off. But there he is, stranded on a hostile planet, using only his brain to find a way to survive and send a signal back to Earth that he is still alive. Matt Damon stars as the Martian, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, Kate Mara. Great cast. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Houston, be advised.
We've got a video message. It's directed to the whole crew. Play it.
Mein Gott. Mark Watney is still alive.
In your face, Neil Armstrong.
We're left behind. Let's go get our boy.
This is something NASA rejected, so we're talking mutiny. And if we mess up the supply rendezvous, you die. If we mess up the Earth gravity assist, we die.
Suck it, Neil Armstrong! And F you, Buzz Aldrin, he says later in the film. So looks terrific. Very exciting. See what I'm saying? Any one of these movies you could just go to, and I'm sure you'd have a good time.
Yep.
It's a magical weekend. We live in special times, people. Get out there, celebrate. Pop the cork on your champagne. Get your popcorn. Cut the hole in the bottom of the bucket. Invite someone to sit next
real
to you.
Weird.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas talks the NFL weekend ahead, coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now. Also, Phil Kogan in studio from The Amazing Race. That show, by the way, and we'll talk to Phil about this. It's been on the air since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Still great every season.
Mm-hmm. And still we always had the same argument, which is who would be best at it? And the answer is always me.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Right?
Absolutely terrifying.
We were very surprised to see Honey Boo Boo back in the news this week. Ralph brought it a story a couple days ago that Honey Boo Boo, who, by the way, you remember from the TV show on TLC, the Freak Show Network, is no longer on the air. But she is now 10 years old and weighs about 200 pounds. And she is trying to make it as a recording artist. Singer-songwriter Adam Barta has gotten together with her and other members of her family, including her mom, June, and Sugar Bear, her dad. And I think Pumpkin is also on the song, too. And they've written and recorded a song called Move It Up. Little Honey Boo Boo. Let's hear some of that, and then we'll tell you why we're actually a little bit excited about this.
I'm just a small town girl, living in my princess world. When rainy days give me the blues, I break out my dancing shoes. Started out as a pageant queen, then on TV doing my thing. Now moving up in the world, new house,
Okay. Hey, Alana, what chicken?
Jackrabbit play.
By the way, that's the voice of the guy that produced it.
Cousin, when I'm riding my bike.
Death penalty for him, though, right?
I love my mama, June.
Don't forget okay, that's it. I think we've heard enough. That's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Well, I'm not interested in doing the Honey Boo Boo Bop. So anyway, so here's why I'm excited about it is because we have new technology here at K-Rock. Apparently, we can dial up something called the Future Phone here on the Kevin Devine Show.
Right.
And we can talk to an adult, grown up, far in the future, Honey Boo Boo. Let's get that thing going. Right? Can't wait to find out what this is.
We don't know how far it goes, do we?
We don't. We have no idea until she answers. I don't know how Dave even got the number. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, we're looking for Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, this is Honey Boo Boo. How you doing?
We're
Hi,
good.
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from 2015. Where are you, Honey Boo Boo? What year?
I'm not for you to remember me. Most people well, sure. don't know who I am anymore.
What year is it where you are,
it's
Honey Boo Boo?
2035.
2035?
20, so that's yeah. only 20 years in the future.
Then. Yeah, it is.
So you're 30.
That's right. You're the smart one. Hold on,
you said... Yeah.
It's breakfast time.
Oh, is it?
Breakfast okay. time for Honey Boo Boo.
All right.
All right. What are you having today? Pancakes or eggs or?
Cigarettes and malt liquor. What can I do? What can Honey Boo Boo do for you?
Well, we just want to find out what your life is like at 30. You know, a lot of people, they wonder what happens to these child stars. We see them a lot when they're little kids, but then what becomes of an adult child star? What are you up to?
Life couldn't be better.
That's good.
I got me a trailer.
A trailer.
And I got chickens.
Right.
Okay. All right.
What more does a woman need?
Those are pets, or you raise them for food, or what, Honey Boo Boo?
Whatever. Whatever I need at the moment. Pet. Okay. Food. Lover. Whatever I need.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
It's all right there in a chicken. A chicken's a very versatile animal.
How, how's your health?
Oh, couldn't be better. Thanks for asking. Yeah. They're going to cut me out of the trailer sometime soon. I'm going to get me right there to a doctor.
Cut you out of the trailer?
Yeah, they got to widen the door just a touch.
Oh, no.
Right.
Well, what about residuals from the Honey Boo Boo Bot? You had to make a ton of money.
Do the bop. Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Do the bop. Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Yeah, I'm trying to get a deal to do the county fair circuit and try to bring that song back. It didn't sell so many copies initially when we released it.
Do you know how many?
Eight. And then seven of those were to burn.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hate to ask this because I'm afraid I already know the answer, but could you give us an update on the other members of your family? Like, how are Sugar Bear and Mama June doing?
Well, first of all, let's start with Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
I don't
talk
to her much anymore.
Oh, no. Your sister?
Your sister.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
Well, she moved in next to the trailer next door. And I found out that she was stealing my cable that I was stealing from someone else.
Right.
And it made me angry. So we're not talking anymore.
But you were stealing the cable that she stole?
Yeah, I was rightfully stealing it, and then she took it from me. That ain't right. Hold on a second. Oh, breakfast. And and Mama June, well, that's a sad story. She's no longer with us.
Yeah, I was going to ask if she was still alive.
Yeah. She burst.
She burst.
Yeah.
Like spontaneous combustion?
No,
burst?
Just popped. Dr. Savage, she never seen in the last. Just boom. Just the skin just split open and just body went everywhere.
Oh, man.
They say she reached maximum density, whatever that means. And she just exploded.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's a tough way to lose your mom. And how about your
18
dad? 18
people were killed in the explosion.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fisher called overcome by blubber.
and Sugar Bear, is he okay?
Oh, Sugar Bear, he's much happier now.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's in a better place.
Oh, he died too?
No, he
moved to Fresno.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
So, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You're still, even though you've been famous for a long time, Honey Boo Boo, you're still relatively a young woman.
I know. I got my whole life ahead of me as soon as I have this couch surgically removed from my ass.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that. RJ Bell from Las Vegas is coming up just after the top of the hour to talk NFL.
Because he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell! Yes, he is. That's on the way from K-Rock. Also, Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race next hour. And Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday.
Exciting times. Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
I'm with you.
This is interesting and good news. It's looking more and more like Bill Cosby may be facing possible charges.
Sweet.
For sexual assault.
Good.
Deadline.com reports that the L.A. District Attorney's Office now has all the information that was gathered by the investigating team, and they are considering moving forward with charges of sexual assault against Bill Cosby. This is one of the few cases that happened recently enough that there's no statute of limitations and they can actually pursue Cosby for these charges. It happened with then 18-year-old model Chloe Goines, who was at a party at the Playboy Mansion in 2008. Now, that case, unlike most of the other women, took place within the 10-year time frame that is a statute of limitations for these crimes. So, Cosby could face charges, which is pretty exciting.
Hope he goes down.
She was 18 at the time. She was given a drink by Cosby, and she woke up, as many women have reported, to wake up with Cosby, her being partially naked and having been assaulted. So, if nothing else, this could go to trial, which would be awesome.
It would be, and I'm telling you what, if Bill Cosby thinks that the verdict is going to be based just on the evidence in this case, he's wrong.
Yeah,
because it's going to be impossible for whoever is trying that, whether it's a judge or jury, to not think about the other 49 women who don't get their day in court.
Absolutely. By the way, Fox News tweeted about this story, and I want to thank our friend Brad Williams, who sent me a copy of the tweet. He forwarded it to me. It's Fox News, their Twitter account, at Fox News. Los Angeles prosecutors reviewing sexual abuse case against Bill Cosby. And then the photo attached was of Kenan Thompson.
Yeah!
From Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
who sometimes
no.
plays Bill Cosby. Don't get me wrong. He does a mean Cosby impression. However, he's a very different dude. You can see right there, that's not Bill Cosby at all.
Not even close.
No. No,
do
not
you think
all.
They just Googled like Fat Albert and that came up?
Maybe.
So they're like, done.
Oh, there you go.
Flip it in. Oh, Fox News.
Yeah.
But if you're working at Fox News, all black guys look alike.
Right?
Yes. Come on.
Come
right?
on. Oh. Don Henley's upset. I know, that's a big surprise, right? The angriest eagle. He says that he doesn't like
that's
people.
His wrestling name, you know.
People don't. He doesn't like people sampling Eagles music for their stuff. He's upset about Frank Ocean using Hotel California in his mixtape track American Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
He said to the UK's Guardian newspaper, I didn't think that he was cool. I thought he was a talentless little prick, and I still do. All right,
wow.
Don.
Take it
relax.
Easy. He's wrong about that.
He also doesn't like Kanye West, who sampled Hotel California for one of his songs.
Doesn't he get paid every time they do this?
Yes.
I guess.
If it's released legally, Frank Ocean's was
an
online mixtape. So.
Got it.
There was no sales.
Regarding Kanye's running for president in 2010, Don says, he's either incredibly arrogant or incredibly insecure, or some combination of the two. Well, you can't really argue about that.
It's true.
You've got a point
I
there.
Think that's true of almost anyone who runs for president, by the way.
It's probably true. And Billy Joe Armstrong's son is getting into the family business. His name is Jacob Danger. He's just 16 years old, and he's about to release his debut EP. Jacob Danger, by the way, is his recording name because his middle name is, in fact, Danger. Jacob Danger Armstrong. It's going to be released on California's Burger Records. And you can find a bunch of his songs already up on YouTube. He's just 16 years old. Here's a song called King of the World that has his brother Joey playing drums on it. And I'll tell you something. The apple does not fall far from the tree. It's very Billy Joe-esque. It's rock and roll, which is exciting and encouraging.
Good.
It's a pretty good little tune for 16. I'll tell you, I was in a band when I was 16. We weren't cranking out stuff like this. I can guarantee you that. Here's a little taste of Jacob Danger's single, King of the World.
Don't get upset. It's just the way I am inside. But I just want you to be real. You just want to be the king of the world. You have all these friends and get all the girls.
All right.
Come on, right?
All right.
I'd listen to that all day long.
All right.
Jacob Danger?
You think his band's better than yours was?
A little bit, yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's not like our smash hit Jewish American Princess. Or even We Gotta Get Out of Here, another single that I penned for Revolver, my legendary band.
Do we have any? Do we have a clip from Revolver, Kevin? Could you put your hands on one? I'd love to hear some Jewish American Princess.
I think it all broke.
Oh.
all those clips broke. Hey, sad news. USA Network has pulled the plug on Graceland after three seasons. Now, I'm never going to know that there was a show called Graceland.
or what it was.
I have no information. It was on for three seasons? Graceland? Anyone?
Was it about Elvis?
Was it about his gardener?
I think they were living
groundskeeper?
In Santa Monica or something, and they were...
How are there TV shows PIs? On for 3 years that I don't know about?
I think they were private investigators. They're police. They're
Were they brothers? Were they private investigator brothers? Was it like Simon and Simon?
I don't know.
Was one a dog?
I don't think one was a dog.
Was one amphibious? Could it live on the land and in the ocean?
I don't think so.
These are all great ideas for shows. Let's someone write this down.
All right, here's the synopsis of Graceland. Okay. What did you say it was, Kevin? You said they were what, detectives or something?
Private investigators in Santa Monica, Kevin said.
From the outside, Graceland is the idyllic beachfront home of a group of diverse young roommates. On the inside, it's the residence and operations center of vital agents of the FBI, DEA, and U.S. Customs.
He had the city and occupation.
The place got its name because it was seized from a drug lord obsessed with Elvis Presley. So there's the tie-in.
Kevin.
Suck it, everyone.
I don't want to, but...
And now we'll never, ever, ever get to see it.
Right. Or find out what happens to Gwen. I'm sure there was a Gwen. Today's celebrity birthday.
Is there a Gwen on every show?
I'm sure. There's always a Gwen. Today's celebrity birthday is Camilla Bell. It is 29 years old today. Tiffany's 44. Remember when Tiffany was in Playboy?
Yeah.
That was a good day.
About 5 years ago, she aged well.
Yeah, she did. That was a good day.
She's natural redhead, too.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
It's hard to go on sometimes.
Sadly.
Kelly Ripa is 45 years old today. Brian Regan's 58. Lorraine Bracco, 61 years old. And Sting celebrates his 64th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, joins us in studio in about 50 minutes or so here on Q-Rock. But first, it's RJ Bell time. Joins us this time every Friday from pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider of the Associated Press, where we talk NFL. Mr. Bell, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Feeling good about this weekend.
Here's what I know about RJ Bell.
100%!
Well, that's what you used to know about RJ Bell, Kevin.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Last week.
What happened?
We are going to talk briefly about what happened last week, where you went wrong, RJ, and look ahead toward this weekend in the NFL. But first, we have to start with last night's Thursday night game. Now, you are a Steelers fan. How frustrated are you with seeing that game slip away from you and handing the Ravens their first win of the season?
The analogy I would draw is love. Love is a question is, do you want to feel the greatness, the joy, but you risk the pain? And as a Steeler fan, when I really engage, it is scary how much I care. And then what happens is, just like with love, you get disappointed.
They break your heart, man.
And then you walk away and say, no more of that for me until the next time. So that's the way it is.
Now, you follow the Steelers, obviously, very closely because they're your hometown team. Tell me what the history has been with Josh Scobie before last night, because surely he'll be cut after missing those attempts at the field goals last night, right?
You know, it's really a disappointment because the Steelers had a really good kicker, got hurt in the regular or in the preseason. They brought another guy in. He got hurt. Then they actually traded for Scobie from Jacksonville and gave up a six-round pick. So the assumption was we're going to spend big. It's like buying, like your car broke down twice. You actually said, okay, I'm going to spend big money and buy a new car. And that car is actually worse than any of the two prior cars. I mean, they actually spent a draft choice on him, and I'm not sure how he stays on the team. Yeah,
but Mike Tomlin's got to take a lot of the hit for this, doesn't he?
He'll say that. He'll say, oh, it's my fault, but he never seems to change what he does. So.
Well, he's got the Patriots in his ear listening to that broadcast. Oh, no, right. He wasn't? No?
Let's one more thing about Thursday Night Football last night, because this is great. Snoop Dogg, who actually is a Raiders fan, so I don't know why he's so heavily invested all of a sudden in the Steelers game last night, but here's what he had to say after watching those sad Scobie performances.
Get the out of here, Josh Scobie. We need to get rid of that sorry as he was sorry in Jacksonville. He's sorry with us. Get his ass out of here. Bye-bye, bitch. Sorry, motherfucker.
you.
So he likes him?
I think he likes him. RJ, you were 3-0 the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Last week, you took a little bit of a hit. You were 1-2. You did not estimate properly how many points the Patriots were going to want to score against Jacksonville. If you had picked Jacksonville plus 35 instead of plus 13.5, I think you would have won that one.
So it wasn't plus 30. Okay, I actually thought we were getting 40 in that game. By the way, that Snoop Dogg, when you started playing that, I thought you had a tape at my house last night.
And you also missed the Bengals and Ravens game, which is a close game, but the Bengals ended up winning that. You did correctly pick the Monday night game with Green Bay versus Kansas City. But as you have pointed out so often, you know, you're not going to be 3-0 every week, and at the end of the long season, you will be ahead. You will have made our listeners some money, probably, right?
Look, that's the goal.
Look, there's nothing wrong with
78%.
That's where we are.
Nothing all wrong right. with that. Mm-mm.
Let's talk about this weekend's games. RJ, you're excited. How come? What's up first?
Yeah, I just have a good feel. Last week, you know, and again, it's easy to say after the fact, didn't love those games. I really like these games. Remember, that doesn't mean they're a sure thing, though. First game, the underdog special, Houston Texans. This is a good example where we can have a handicapping approach in this game that you can apply to many different games, and it's when the scoreboard is not totally connected to the truth about that team. And that's what we have with Atlanta. Atlanta is 3-0. That looks great. They're on top of the standings. But the Falcons are the first team in NFL history to start a season 3-0 after trailing in the fourth quarter of all three games. So does that mean that they're super clutch and they refuse to lose? Or does it mean they've gotten a little bit lucky? And most certainly they've gotten a little bit lucky, but that undefeated record comes at a premium. If you would have bet this game last week, you could bet it early before last week's games. Atlanta was only favored by 3.5. So what's happened is Atlanta won that third game. Now they're 3-0. But at the same time, Houston was dominating last week. They actually had 30 first downs. Tampa Bay had 14. They had a time of possession edge of 12 minutes. So if anything, Houston was more impressive last week than Atlanta. The line was 3.5. Now the line is 6.5. So to me, those 3 points, that's the premium because Atlanta's undefeated. There's a lot of newspaper headlines. So we're going to take the other side of that, underdog special, Houston, plus 6.5.
Huh.
That's where you hit the button, Kevin. Right. All right, your best bet, RJ Bell, on the line from pregame.com from Las Vegas here on the Kevin Beach Show, as he is every Friday. I don't know how you even pick who is going to win Washington versus Philadelphia, and really, who cares?
Well, if you have money, I can promise you, if it's Portland State on a Tuesday night, if you got money on it, you care. That's the beauty of Vegas. Best bet of the week, Washington Redskins. You know, if you looked at Philly, they started out 0-2. Then last week they won. That score looked consistent to that narrative that Philly's a Super Bowl contender. But if you actually look at the box score, they were outgained by 92 yards against the Jets. It's just they had a big turnover edge, which is huge in the NFL. So if you actually look at the whole season, the real story of the Eagles, they have the third worst yardage differential in the NFL. What's that? Well, how many yards do you gain? How many yards do you give up? What's the difference? That's a key stat. Third worst in the NFL for Philly. You know who has the best? Washington Redskins. Best Whoa. In the NFL yardage what? Differential. Doesn't mean they're the best team. It just means their stats are a lot better than their scores so far. And that means typically the stats are right and the scores aren't. This is an underrated Washington team. So we got Philly overrated, Washington underrated. Now, we're expecting bad weather in this game. Who is that an advantage for? The running team. So that is Washington, another advantage. And remember, Philly has that super complicated offense that's not going to do well in bad weather. One last thing. Washington played last Thursday, so they have extra days, right? That's always good, even better against this very complicated offense that Philly has. You add it all up, Washington plus 3, best bet.
78%.
And finally, the big game that RJ Bell picks for us this week is the London game. Chip is going to be up at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday to watch your beloved Miami Dolphins. They're up against the Jets. What say you, RJ?
Yeah, you got to love the perversity of football at 6:30 in the morning. As we talked about, Jets, it was deceiving that they looked so bad last week. But listen, first two games, it was a little deceiving how good they look. So let's just say the Jets are pretty much what people think. Miami, though, this team has major problems. On the defensive line, they are giving up 160 yards per game rushing. They're not sacking anybody. And so we could say, oh, this is a handicap of X's and O's. A little bit. I think Miami's still a little overrated, but here's where the handicap is. Miami's having problems from every direction. The fans were booing them the entire game last week, and the stadium was empty at the end of the game. The owner will not say the coach, Philbin, is going to be there even for the rest of the year. And now the players, if you actually watch the game, the body language was really bad last week, and now the players are saying the practices are too long, they're hitting too much. So what you have here is a slightly overrated Miami team that's just turmoil. Now they're on a long, complicated trip all the way over to London. You've got a Jets team who's just a good team. So for me, we're more playing against Miami than on the Jets, but you can do that in the NFL. Our big game bet, Jets minus 1 point. They're a 1 point favorite.
I love 78%.
I love all the ways you look at a game, RJ. I mean, it really is. It's amazing how many different things go into coming up with your picks every week. You can find all the picks at pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Again, Houston +6.5 versus Atlanta, Washington +3 versus Philadelphia, and the London game is the big game of the weekend, the Jets -1 against the Dolphins. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Friday. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:24. Can't believe I'm about to say this, but season 27 of The Amazing Race on CBS premiered last Friday night. It's back for episode 2 tonight, and the man who's been there for every sweet minute of it is our friend Phil Kogan, who joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Phil.
Welcome guys. Back. Well, thank you. We're all looking a little older and a little worse for wear, but we're still here.
How dare you?
Not you. Oh. I meant the boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the boys. Right. I mean, every time Phil, I come in here, it's like watching a time lapse. We're all going there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going. Yeah. Your teeth look good. Your teeth look really good this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that compliment before, Phil, but thank you. You're weird today. You're coming in. You're saying all kinds of like
off. I like it.
Double shot latte, man.
Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Phil, we got to talk. We got a lot of ground we got to cover. Once again, you got a new group of people who all think they're going to win the Amazing Race because they do so well when they watch it at home and they, oh, how hard could it be? And then the tough reality of what this show is all about hits them when they're on the beach or in Rio. And speaking of the beach,
yeah,
let's just start at the top of the interview.
Yeah.
A stroke of genius to put all of these cheerleaders and fitness models and everybody else you've got on the show this year in white bikinis and make them play volleyball. I mean, well done.
I wish it was my idea. I can't lay claim to it, but I certainly I have to say, you know, neutralizing everybody, so to speak, and putting them in the white bikinis. Mm-hmm. And then we all miss Robin Williams, that line, you know, so tight you can tell what religion they are. Do you remember that wonderful line?
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a little bit of that going on. And, yeah.
Well, along our thanks to whoever came up with it, because that was good.
Yeah, no, it was good. And, I think also just the idea that we just neutralized everybody so that mm-hmm. there wasn't, like, a choice of colors. It's like yeah. everybody's in a white bikini.
But you went with white.
Yeah, should we have chosen another color?
Not according to these guys. Absolutely not.
You did the right thing.
But do you like a man in a white, tidy whitey kind of a thing?
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
No.
My bad.
Phil, had you been to Rio before?
I have.
I feel like you have.
And the show's been there before.
That's what I meant. I felt like I'd seen it on the show before. But yeah. My God, is that a beautiful place. And that that helicopter ride over the Christ the Redeemer statue may be one of the most stunning views on planet Earth.
Yeah, well, we were there back in season 2, and the gutsy grannies, they actually went in hand gliders over the city. Mm-hmm. And I have to agree. I just think the mountains right next to the beach, to Copacabana, it's just an incredible setting. and the energy on the beach and the skin. I mean, you see things.
Yeah.
You see things there that you can't even find
people
on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like no matter what you put into the search engine.
They're all models.
I mean, it's an eye-opener wherever you look. Yeah.
Did you have – don't they have topless beaches in Rio? And did that create any problems with your camera people with having to really like kind of go through and
– when you say problems, what kind of problems?
Yeah, problems.
Well, it means pixelation problems.
Yeah, you had to pixelate a lot. There could be a lot of pixelation jobs.
Look,
for
can I just
one.
Say about the whole pixelation thing? We need to stop the whole pixelation thing and just get used to the fact that people do have cracks and certain things.
I agree.
And it's okay.
I agree.
I mean, what is it
We're
with
down
all
with
this
that.
Pixelation?
Yeah.
Is that an American thing, Phil? In New Zealand, you can show boobs on TV, it's no big deal, and nobody dies, right?
Well, I think when you it almost makes it worse when you start pixelating everything. And sometimes you'll see, like, just at the, you know, that the plumber's crack?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, they start pixelating that, and it's like a tiny, tiny, it's like, come on.
Do you
really
find yourself in arguments with them going, that's not much crack?
Well,
come on, that's a tiny bit of crack. And then they go, oh, it's a little too much crack.
I'm sort of fascinated by the idea that people would be offended by, by that.
Trust us.
Are
people are offended by everything.
But are there people, do you think, that just don't have cracks? And maybe they're offended because, because you know what I'm saying?
I hadn't thought of the no crack people. It.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there are no crack people.
Oh.
And then they see a crack and they go, well,
why don't I have that?
I should have a crack.
Yeah.
They have a crack. Now you're throwing it in my face, so to speak.
Oh, that's a good point.
Phil has given this a lot of thought.
Yes,
just like,
I had a question.
I'm over it. No, I have to tell you this. Way back when, I did a series for Discovery Channel, and it was called Adventure Crazy, and it was essentially all a list of all the things I wanted to do before I died.
Right.
And I did all these different things, and one of the adventures that I pitched them was a show called Nude Awakenings. And I wanted to go into a nudist resort with a couple who were going to get married in this nudist resort. And we made them a promise that we would not pixelate anything. And so this is pre-Austin Powers. We shot everything, choreographed everything with bread rolls and wine glasses over certain parts. It was strategically done. And it took us months to convince Discovery Channel to let us do this episode called Nude Awakenings. They said, what's it got to do with adventure? I said, everything, because you're out of your comfort zone. So this is pre-Naked and Afraid, of course.
Right.
Sure.
But
and naked dating.
Yeah, naked dating. Now we have an obsession with being naked.
Right.
But get rid of the pixelation. Let's just accept that we – I think pretty much everybody –
I feel like you're 100% right, and you'll never win that.
You're also on the wrong network to win that battle, too.
That's true.
Yeah. So
anyway, where did this all start? I mean,
it started because –
because we're talking about episode one of The Amazing Race that debuted last Friday night. I have to ask, because we're going to take a break with Phil Kogan here in a second, but I have to ask. Well, I was thinking about the girls from TMZ, and we gave Harvey Levin a hard time when we had him on the air last week about how poorly
What did he say, by the way? Because I haven't heard anything from him online.
He and the rest of the TMZ newsroom were just horrified, but in a way in which they're going to enjoy it because they're going to be able to make fun of those girls for their terrible performance
you mean
for the rest
he
of
hasn't
their lives.
Started? He's holding back?
I mean, it's just added to the fire.
Yeah, exactly. So they're making fun of those girls. But my question for you is, they came very close to just laying down in the sand and crying and giving up and deciding they weren't going to be able to complete the challenge. How often has that happened in the 27 seasons of The Amazing Race where somebody just couldn't do it and quit?
It's very rare. And generally speaking, it's not that they quit as much as we just literally have to – we shoot 12 shows in 21 days. There's a point at which we go, hey, if we don't stop them – do you remember Lena and Christy? It was in season 6 and there were the hay bales and they were looking for the clues in the hay bales. And they were out there for hour after hour.
Yep.
I don't know how long in the end, but it was maybe upwards of 8 hours. And in the end, we had to like listen – We got to get to the next show.
Yeah.
All the other teams checked in 8 hours ago, and I literally had to go out into the field and eliminate them in the field. It was really challenging, but they never gave up. To their credit, they never gave up.
But they should have.
Because they're out there 8 hours later than everybody else. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but they should have.
Really. I know that you're Mr. Inspirational Guy. I know you're no opportunity wasted.
By the way,
at some point, Phil.
Muggs is so lean. Speaking of inspiration.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Methy Phil, start... take it easy. Oh. We can get to these topics.
You need to start telling people sometimes you should quit and sometimes you should waste
right.
an opportunity.
That's my point. I want you to quit with your diet.
All right.
Okay.
Phil Kogan is here. The Amazing Razors Friday nights on CBS at 8 o'clock. No nudity yet, but we're working on it, Phil says. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. One of the most honored programs at the Emmys in recent years is a little show called The Amazing Race on CBS Friday nights at 8. Our friend and the host of the program, Phil Kogan, in studio with us right now. Season 27 just premiered last Friday. I want to ask you about a couple of contestants, and I know that these are tough interviews for you to do, Phil, because you've already seen the whole season, and you know there's a lot of stuff you can't say.
Right, but it's okay because I shut off part of my brain before I came in here.
Okay, who wins? Good for you.
Justin
and Diana, the Green Team, have a story unlike any other in the history of your show. I mean, you've had a lot of fans of The Amazing Race on, but talk about what it is they did.
Well, we got this call from Rachel Ray's producers to say that they found this couple who essentially replicated The Amazing Race. Justin created an online version of The Amazing Race and convinced his wannabe wife that they were on an online version of The Amazing Race. He made clues for her. He took her on this journey that ended up taking them overseas and then ended this online version of The Amazing Race with a wedding proposal, asked her to marry him, and she said yes, and it went viral on the internet, this whole thing, and she was convinced.
He pretended he had nothing to do with it, like he was a contestant just like she was, not
exactly,
that he
created
it, right?
Which was so clever. She thought that he had no idea and that they had just been randomly chosen, and she bought into the whole idea. They went off, and everybody fell in love with it, and to say that he is an Amazing Race fan is, I mean, he's the guy that scares you because you start having a conversation with him and he goes, yeah, season three, you remember when they, you're like, hold on a second, but season three, I mean, knows everything. I mean, the biggest super fan that I have ever met, and I have met some fans.
Sure.
I mean, you meet fans on Amazing Race who are so obsessed, they can tell you, if you put the key up for a train that leaves Zurich at 7:05 and they know it's 7:06, believe me, you'll hear about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The level of detail is extraordinary.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I brought up Justin and Diana, is because they're such super fans of the show. I wondered if that was uncomfortable for you to have them, you know, like hanging onto your leg when you were trying to walk. Because like, I would imagine they would, my God, wouldn't they love to kidnap Phil Kogan and like take him home and force him to live in their basement?
Well, I got to surprise them on Rachel Ray. They're great fans and they added a great energy. But it's really interesting because at the beginning of this season, they quickly started to annoy all the other teams because they made it very clear that they knew everything. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was like, oh, God, you know, that couple again. There's two, you know, they know everything. And
right.
This, and they were predicting what was going to happen. But then if you saw the first episode where they went for the fast forward.
Didn't turn out the way they thought it would, did it?
So, I mean, the number one thing I hear from everybody at the end of the first leg is, we had no idea it was this difficult. Because you think about it. We started in Venice Beach. We had a public start. They rush to the airport. They get on a plane. We had to connect through Miami. We go to Miami. Then we fly through to Rio. They get off the plane early in the morning, race all day in the heat of the sun, wearing those white bikinis down on the beach, doing all those challenges. Then the sun is starting to set, and I eliminate the first team, the TMZ team, and they are literally out of the race within 24 hours of the start of the race.
What a bummer that is, right?
It's like, that's how fast this show is. 12 shows, 21 days, and people are exhausted, and it's leg one.
All right, next question. You have cousins, I think, who are dwarves on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you have had many people over the years with physical disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned from that, or what has stuck in your mind from some of the contestants that you've worked next to throughout the years?
You know, what I love about our show is that this is Alex and Adam you're talking about and their cousins. And what I love about our show is that you don't have to come to the show with any sort of particular skill. You don't have to sing necessarily.
You
don't have to necessarily be good at it.
Right.
We did not pick you to come on the show because of some skill. So our pool of talent that we can pick from is so much greater than so many other shows. You're not a great builder necessarily. You're not a great singer, not a great dancer, not a great cook. You don't design necessarily that well. You have absolutely nothing in common with somebody else who's on the show. And so I feel that that diversity has created such great talent for us to be able to have on the show. So here you have Alex and Adam, who have a particular type of dwarfism. They're smaller. All their life, they've been told they can't do this, that, or the other. Here's a chance for them to come on to our show where we're an equal opportunity show. I mean, really.
Yeah.
We've had, I mean, can you think of a show that's had a more diverse cast than us over the years?
Yeah, a lot of people on with the limbs missing. I know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, and the thing is that those people are so driven, and it's, to me, it's such an important message for people to just be say, you know what? Stop with the excuses here. Let's ditch the excuses. Here's an amazing opportunity, and I think it's inspired a lot of people. And it's just it's great positive TV to be able to say, hey, yeah, it's challenging when you're trying to do certain things and you're smaller or you're taller or you're missing a limb or maybe you're deaf, as we had Luke on one season. But wow, look what they can do! And so you have they have the ability to laugh at themselves and understand their limitations, but also we're able to celebrate all the things that they're able to do well.
Now you see, plus dwarves are just funny too.
Yeah.
You seem to really love a lot of the contestants that are on the show. You seem to really, like, bond with them, or at least you know their story, and you seem to like them a lot, right?
Well, I care because...
I was going to ask, is it difficult to tell them they're done?
Terribly difficult sometimes. Sometimes really easy, too, because sometimes... No, there are sometimes I get so frustrated with a team because so many people want to be on The Amazing Race. Getting on The Amazing Race, to me, is almost better than winning the $1 million. When else do you get to... This is a trip that not even $1 million could buy.
Right.
So just to get to the starting line, you've won already, just getting there. So if I feel like a team hasn't given every single thing they've got...
You know how many other people wanted that.
Want to be there, yeah. And I sort of think, you know what?
Good point.
You know what? That's not fair to those people who really want to be on the show and who've been trying to be on the show for 10 years or who fight to be on the show. So... You just squandered an opportunity, and that frustrates me because there's 11 teams of two, and if one of those people is not fully dedicated and 100% into being there, A, it doesn't make for great TV, and B, it's just, to me, it's a wasted opportunity. Now, it very rarely happens because most of them, they give it 100%, but I'm genuinely invested in their story and sharing that story with the audience, and again... To be involved in something that is like making entertainment and having fun and for entertainment, as opposed to like tearing people down to make the entertainment where people feel like, ugh, you know, that was just sort of like we had to make a mockery of those people in order to make entertainment. I'm not saying that stuff can't be on TV. If people want to watch that, that's fine. But I love being involved in something where people actually say, yeah, I sat down with my kid who's 8 and my mother who's 80, and we, as a family, we watch the show. It's nice to be involved in something that is uplifting and makes people go, hey, I want to get a passport. I want to travel. I want to go try that. Oh, my God, I saw that thing on Amazing Race. I want to go try it. It's kind of cool to be involved in something that is uplifting and positive.
Absolutely.
All right. Phil's better than we are again.
We knew that, though.
I don't want to disappoint Daddy Phil.
Daddy Phil?
I mean, jeez. That was a lot.
Come on. Phil, you... Was that too much?
No, it was great. It was great.
You're very believable when you tell that lie. You've never...
Wow.
The Amazing Race casting directors have never survivored it and picked contestants that they know are irritating as crap just to put a little bit of
of course know. We have. What are you,
you
talking
do.
About?
Okay, good.
Oh,
I
yeah,
make
I mean,
sure.
We've had some incredibly annoying...
You've had some horrible people
on
the show.
Listen, again, going back to the diversity aspect, just this morning I went down to get some coffee, double shot latte, beautiful, Groundworks, I love that place. So I'm lining up, and this woman... It's not an endorsement. I'm just saying. I like the car.
Sure, I know.
But there's a woman on the phone.
I'm saying less of it. Less of it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Becky, woman on the phone.
There's a woman on the phone having a conversation while this young woman is trying to take her order. Absolutely obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know, like, there she's barely giving the young woman who's making her coffee any attention at all. And I'm thinking, where's your head? Like... Put your phone down, take your conversation away, and give this woman your attention.
Did you smack the phone out of her hand?
No, but I said... You
spoke up?
Well, I said something, yeah, because I just felt it was so rude to this person. that we've had people like that on our show.
Sure.
Some people just behave like that. And so I think what's great about it, again, is that we can show all kinds of people, the people who have been great American ambassadors and some who have been absolutely obnoxious and rude, because it's good for us, I think, to see ourselves in all lights, you know, to be able to say, that's not cool.
I just want the shot of you going, please come in last, please come in last, please come in last, because you're annoyed by them squandering the opportunity.
Well, sometimes, honestly, it is an easy choice. And other times where I know that it really could change their lives if they won the Amazing
Race.
Yeah,
because sometimes you got great people who are giving it their all, but they just had a bad break.
Right.
And those are the ones that have got to really
You
hurt.
Really want, you really, and I think the audience is exactly the same, you really want somebody deserving to get that prize. And you want to think that it has the opportunity to change their lives in a really positive way. So,
The Amazing Race airs Friday nights at 8 on CBS. It's not too late to get in on their great season 27. It just premiered last week. You can see the first episode online at CBS.com. Phil, we love you, man. It's always great to see you.
Thank you. We're heading to Argentina tonight, and we're going to be going to Buenos Aires, the birthplace of the tango. And, yeah, we've got Africa for you.
I hope we get to see you shake that ass.
Me, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll shake it for you. Just for you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Chris Shoemaker from Saugus, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today, just won his way into Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. Congratulations. Thanks so much, Chris. Your chance to win is coming up. Details at KROQ.com. I got to be very careful with my
Halloween Horror Nights.
I have a particular problem saying those words together, Ralph. I've just tried to be careful so I don't screw it up. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then a brand-new Internet Roundup, and Oscar De La Hoya stops by the Kevin Bean Show. It's all coming up on K-Rock.
I'm a giving guy. I give, 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 give. I give so much, you get tired of giving. I'm like Donald Trump. And now I'm going to give you something. It's happening October the 9th at Morongo Casino and Spa. It's the third annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament.
Yay!
You will get to sit at a table and compete in tournament-style blackjack and maybe earn your piece of $5,000 in prize money.
Good times.
It costs you nothing to sign up. You can go to krock.com and sign up today to be part of the Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo Casino. And as if that wasn't enough, first of all, Morongo, great place. Great place to play. Great atmosphere. You feel like you're in Vegas when you're there. Love this casino. Same. But as if that wasn't enough, Allie McKay, the queen of blackjack, as she's known.
I'm well known.
I've never heard her referred to that way.
Oh.
We'll be playing. Dave, the king of Hearts, Mexico, as he's known.
Wow. Yep.
Royalty. Mm-hmm.
Beer mug.
Just beer, he's got mug. No nickname.
He's got nothing.
He's just beer mug. And Kevin, the Madman Rider.
Mm. The Madman.
And Tarzana, let's not forget.
We'll all be there playing as well. Each of them will have a table. Now, here's what I'm giving away right now. One lucky winner who calls me right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're caller number 21, you will get automatically entered into the tournament. And here's the special fun part for a Friday. Your choice of whose table you want to sit at. You want to sit at Allie McKay's table?
I highly recommend it because she will not win.
Dave, the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, or Kevin, you get to choose whose table you want to sit at. Now, only call if you're willing to go on the air with me and tell me who you're choosing and why.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number 21. You get your choice of who you want to play with, and we are going to talk to you live in the air and ask you why, because I'm fascinated to know, out of those four people, who would anyone choose to sit with any of them, and why would they choose
it? Not to prime the pump, but Allie did say earlier this week, it's 21, right? It adds up to 21.
She did say that. She was a little dubious on the actual goal of the game. There seemed to be a little confusion there.
Listen, I heard we got cocktail chips and I was in.
Yeah.
Good times.
Is that what you're calling them these days? Taylor Swift's a lying liar who lies.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
She made a big deal saying about the, oh, the press is saying I was buying a house in Beverly Hills. I'm in St. Louis doing a concert. How could I be buying a house in Beverly Hills?
That doesn't even make sense.
No, I know it doesn't. But here's the thing. She got caught. She got caught in her lies, her web of lies. Because TMZ did a little research, and someone purchased legendary movie mogul Samuel L. Goldwyn's estate in Beverly Hills. And that someone, that mystery buyer, owns a company in Nashville, and the address of that company in Nashville is Taylor Swift's home.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Such a big liar. So maybe the tabloids weren't lying after all, Taylor Swift.
Why would this be a story either way? Why does it matter?
Because she's a lying liar who lies.
Why would she lie about buying a house? Who cares?
She can't help herself, Kevin. She's just a horrible, horrible person. Everything that comes out of her mouth is lies.
Well, we all agree with that. So.
You know what? You could just shake it off? No, you can't. I looked it up. You can't just shake it off. That's a lie. That whole song's a lie. How about this? How about the Taylor Swift baseball curse? That's right.
I like it.
Yep. Yep. Wherever she goes on tour, baseball teams in the towns Swift visited over the summer go in the tank.
Oh.
She plays their venue, she plays that town, and boom, death. Here's the breakdown. Pre-Swift, the Houston Astros were 55-45 and held the first wild card spot. After Swift, 7-11 were their record, losing 7 out of the last 8 games that followed her appearance. Curse! 2 nights after Swift's Washington, D.C. performance in July, the lights went out at Nationals Park and play was suspended. The team was leading the NL East, and now, well, now they're not. And, of course, there's the Padres, who have gone 11-17 since Swift stopped by Petco Park in August. She will kill your baseball team, people, and then lie to you about it. She's a farter and a racist, also.
There's your update.
Some people are remarkably quiet during this segment.
Some people who are never quiet.
I have nothing to say about
these
facts.
I've given up on trying to combat Ralph's narrative with facts, so I'm not going to.
Let's talk to Nick on line 5, shall we?
Yes.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Nick, you're going to play in the Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo on October the 9th.
Sounds good to me.
Whose table would you like to sit at, Nick?
My boy, Kevin.
Kevin's table. You think you can handle him?
I think I can take him.
All right. Yeah. I can't wait to see Nick v. Kevin.
Feel bad for you, Nick. I'm going to have to take you down.
Nick versus Kevin coming up soon, as Beer Mug would say.
It's all good till I sit at the table, man. Then it's on.
Right.
Sounds good.
All right, Nick, thanks. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
I don't know.
Then Kevin will get up and say, oh, I lost, and walk away, and I'll have to call him back to the table and say, sir, you have 21 there. You actually won that hand.
Yeah, I wish that didn't happen.
Did that ever happen to you in a poker tournament, Kevin?
At the World Series of Poker, yes.
Oh, a small one.
Yeah.
At
the World Series of Poker?
Yeah.
Huh.
I threw a huge tantrum. Boy, I was such a dick. I was so mad and so angry, and they called my name, and I was like, I'm not turning around because I'm so mad.
Kevin!
Then they said you actually won. You had, I think it was a straight that I didn't see or something like that. Then you got to go sit back at the table with all those people that saw you.
It's kind of like when you're at a party and you just have a drop the mic moment, like such a zinger, and you turn and you just walk out the door and you feel so good, and then you realize you left your keys back inside the house.
I gotta go back. Hey, everybody, I'm sorry I won that hand.
But at least
this is why you fail.
At least you never sat down at a table that wasn't yours and started playing someone else's chips. That never happened. That would be really embarrassing.
I feel like this is not relevant. I did that as well.
Someone sitting down?
I did no.
That as well. At an empty chair at the wrong table and playing that guy's chips?
But at the World Series of Poker, there are thousands of tables, so it's pretty easy to do.
Who would expect you to know where you were and where you were going? You're right, Kevin. That's their bad. Really, shame on them. Isn't it funny, though, that all the people at those thousands of tables, they managed
theirs,
to find their tables?
Yeah, that you know of. I'm the only one that's telling the story that I couldn't.
That's true.
Come on now.
Kevin, there are thousands of houses in the San Fernando Valley, too. Are you able to find your way to yours every day?
I feel like we're off track.
Or most days?
I feel like we might be off track.
Celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today. The second of Rocktober!
Oh.
I don't believe we were prepared for that.
Rock! Is it October?
No, it's not.
All right, I'm ready.
It is.
If it's October, shouldn't that always be at the ready?
Shouldn't it be? Yes.
All these stars born on today. The second of Rocktober! Just literally rocked my face off with that.
Worth the wait, though, huh?
Sting is 64 years old. Lorraine Bracco is 61. Brian Reagan, 58 years old today. TV talk show host Kelly Ripa turns 45. Tiffany is 44. And actress Camilla Bell, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is he here? Is the silver pony in the building?
He's the golden boy.
Why are you calling him the silver pony? I keep getting that wrong. I knew there was a nickname. I couldn't remember. All right. Oscar De La Hoya joins us coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup?
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. All right. We're not going to have time for all of these, but this is a tremendous batch. And I urge you immediately at the conclusion of today's Kevin Amin Show to go to krock.com or kevinamin.com and see the video that Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, has put up for us this week. How are you, Dave?
Good. This may be my favorite batch of
a couple of classics this week, right?
Yeah.
Classics. All right. Allie, I know you love this video that comes to us from Headline News, CNN's Headline News.
I do too.
There is a woman who has on a man named John Hendren, and I don't know why she thought he would be a good choice to talk about Edward Snowden, but he was on, and he answers all the questions in a great deal of detail as if we're talking about the movie character Edward Scissorhands. Now, what's great about this video is that the interviewer is apparently not listening to anything he says. So he gives his answer about Edward Scissorhands, and then she just goes on and asks another question as if they're talking about Edward Snowden. It's one of the most confusing and hilarious things you've ever seen. Here's a clip.
But I think to cast him out to make him invalid in society simply because he has scissors for hands, I mean, that's strange because, I mean, people didn't get scared until he started sculpting shrubs into dinosaur shapes and whatnot.
All right, well, now Snowden's living in Russia.
Allie, will she be fired for that?
No. She'll probably get a raise.
Right?
No. Just how so many people on the news are. They're ready to ask that next question. They just want to get that next one in there. They're not listening to a word that they're actually saying to
this
them.
This was extreme, though. It went on and on and on.
Yeah.
It was,
and the fact that nobody in the booth at CNN was like, wait a minute, is he? Yeah, that's a problem.
That's great. Just a guy, he's a comedian, John Hendren, by the way. Chip, you follow him on Twitter. What's his Twitter account name?
@fart.
Oh, best Twitter name ever.
That's all you need to know, @fart. Here's another one of the best videos of the year that's also in this week's Roundup. This is a baseball game featuring the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the booth announcers are having a little bit of fun scanning the crowd, and they come across a pack of sorority girls who all have their phones out and are all taking selfies. Here's what they said about it.
Oh, hold on. I'd take a selfie with the hot dog, selfie with the churro. You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them. Peralta knocks it into center, and nobody noticed.
Did you think that they were unusually unkind to the girls taking the selfies? Or do you think it was legitimate commentary?
Oh, I think they were being harsh. I think that's probably
most people.
I bet
they were watching them the whole game, and they weren't paying attention at all. So then once they had a little time, because I think it was a blowout.
My takeaway from that was baseball is boring.
Absolutely. But at one point, the guy actually says, do you have to make that face when you're taking a selfie? And it's true. She was doing duck lips right
into it. Oh, they did it all. Yeah.
So Oddest Trailers are back. As we say every week, they make even the best movies sound terrible, and they've done it again, this time with Avengers Age of Ultron.
Now, get ready for another generically evil one-off villain who hates the Avengers for reasons, with an overcomplicated plot to evolve and or destroy the world by turning an Eastern European city into a meteor?
Not a great plan.
In the interest of getting to our guest, Oscar De La Hoya, let's skip down. Let's skip past the next four or so, if you would, Chip, and let's get to the bear video.
Oh, okay,
because
that's
the
all
bear video again. Just like the Edward Scissorhands, just like the fans taking selfies, the bear video is one of the best videos of the year, and it just came up this week. This woman is in Alaska, and she's on a little bit of a nature walkabout, and she has her kayak on the beach, all right? And a black bear comes up and starts chewing up her kayak. And she is, look, I understand it's not great news. She planned on using that kayak to get out of there. She is hysterical about this bear. She is weeping, begging this bear to not eat her kayak. She's so annoying, I can't believe this woman's not from Boston. Listen up.
Why are you breaking my kayak? Stop it! Bear, stop! Stop breaking my kayak, please! Gosh darn it! Oh, why are you doing that? Please stop, bear! It's the end of September! Why are you here? You're supposed to be asleep! Why are you here? Oh!
My...
Who's rooting for the bear?
By the way, my favorite part of that is that she addresses the bear as bear.
And it might not even be his name, so that's why he's not listening.
Now,
first of all, do
you guys feel bad for her? Or,
no, she pepper-sprayed the bear in the face.
But I'm saying, she's in a remote area, and that's her only way of transportation. You know, back
to civilization. I hope she gets eaten by a bear, Dave. Yeah. That's what I hope.
I was rooting for the bear. Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel did something new with his mean tweets, a segment he's been doing for years on his late-night ABC talk show. He did them live where he had the actual person reading the tweet about themselves step out from behind the curtain and address the audience. It's very funny.
Is Jack Black married? Because that's gross.
I'm really sick of seeing The Rock. Blah, 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 blah. Dwayne Johnson, blah, blah. Candy ass movie star, blah, 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 go suck it. I'll give you something to suck.
There you go. There's The Rock. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel again. He finally, you know, he's had this feud going on for years with Matt Damon after all that time that Jimmy was bumping Matt from his late night show. Well, they finally decided to settle their differences. Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel go to couples therapy, and I think it went pretty well.
What do you imagine it feels like to be him every day?
Well, I imagine it would suck to be him. I mean, first of all, look at him. You know, I mean, he's trying to be a movie star. And
what does that mean?
What?
Look at him.
I mean, just look at his face and look at his body. It's not a movie star face and not a movie star body.
You can see all these videos and so much more. We didn't have time for it. KROQ.com or KevinAbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
Wake up! Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah! His opponent's nose. Blood pouring from the nose and the eye, and Joe Cortez is all over. Uppercut slams into Camacho, and with the right hand, De La Hoya knocks him down.
Chavez eats a left hand and a right hand, and De La Hoya has won. Chavez does not answer the bell to start the ninth.
And the towel comes in from Gotti's corner, and De La Hoya has a fifth round TKO. Oh, and the body shots put Coley down. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want any more.
If he could make Fernando Vargas eat his words, if he could knock him out, and he does, Oscar De La Hoya has the most satisfying, the richest, the biggest, the most emotional win of his whole career.
The battle is on. Oscar throwing as hard as he can. Floyd ties him up, counters him.
Look at Pacquiao. Battle to the end of the eighth round. Trying to stop Oscar De La Hoya in his track.
The Golden Boy from East L.A.
Only won 10 world titles in 6 different weight classes as a professional, by the way. And let's not forget, an Olympic gold medalist and the founder of Golden Boy Promotions. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar De La Hoya joins us in studio on the Kevin Abean Show. Hey, Oscar.
What a nice intro. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You've done some good work.
Wow. Wow. I kind of forgot about that. Like, wow, 10 world titles. Okay, cool. Nice.
Oscar, we always talk to professional athletes, and I ask this question. I can't imagine anything tougher in terms of a career transition as what you did, as what professional athletes do when they go from being in the game to being out of the game. Even if you go on to have, as you have, a successful, you know, post-boxing career and doing something that you love, I don't know what you have in your life that you can ever have that will replace the adrenaline of those nights.
No, exactly. You're right. I mean, it's funny because when I'm in Vegas watching or promoting one of these big fights, you know, and the first bell rings and you're seeing all the punches flying and everything, at first you're like, you know what, I wish I was in there, you know? Yeah. And then the second round, third round, you start start seeing the blood and the knockdowns, you're like, oh, I'm good where I'm at. I'm good.
I don't want to be back in there.
I'm good.
Does it get irritating that no matter, I mean, you could be 60 and people would still be talking to you about, hey, you ever think about coming back? Hey, when are you coming back? Hey, why don't you fight some more? I mean, people never want to let their heroes go. They don't want athletes to retire.
I mean, but that's the fun part, you know? It's like, I mean, if I walk down the street or something, or I'm in the supermarket when the wife tells me to get milk at 10 o'clock at night, you know, people come up to me and tell me, oh, you can do it one more time. You know, why do you come back? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. You know,
Okay. There's not 10% of you that thinks like you could do it.
You know what?
Or just one.
Well, it's funny because I think about it every single day that I can come back.
Wow.
So at one point I was so serious. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I run 5-6 miles. I'm doing this for about a week. And I decide to start sparring. So I go to the gym in the evening, right there in Pasadena where I live. And I spar 10 rounds. The next day, I couldn't get out of bed. I just couldn't get out of bed. So I said, you know what? I'm never going to come back ever
again. My mind
again.
is there. My body's not.
My body's just not there. Yeah. Isn't there a song, right?
My mind, my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the relationship in your brain with these young fighters that you represent through Golden Boy Promotions? Is it a father-son thing? Is it a mentor-mentee thing? Are you living through them? What feelings go through your mind as you watch your boys box?
Yeah, it's kind of like being a mentor, you know, because in boxing or in any sport, when you reach a certain level of success and when you earn so much money at such a young age, you tend to sometimes get lost. A lot of athletes or even entertainers in general, they just get lost. All that money, that fame, like what do I do with it? And so for me, since I lived it all those years, I mean, I won the gold medal at 18 years old and instantly my life changed. So, you know, I kind of had to live a few rough moments myself in the beginning, but I learned, I grew from it. And so now I can pass down that information. I can kind of just be a mentor to these young kids who become world champions and are involved with all this, you know, success and money and fame.
Do they listen fame. To you or do they?
They actually
are they
do.
Kids, I mean, and they don't want to because you're just an old guy. What do you know?
Well, you know.
He's not just an old guy.
Yeah.
Well, one,
but you
one
know
thing,
how kids are. Kids
right,
never
of course. Yeah.
They never take the advice from the people who they should listen to.
Right, yeah.
They
I
think
mean,
they're going to be different somehow.
Yeah, they think I can do it on my own. But it's, right. it's there's a mutual respect. Which I really enjoyed because in boxing, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of respect in boxing. If being a world champion, gold medalist, all these young kids, they look up to me. So that's one of the things that we pride ourselves in within Golden Boy Promotions is that every fighter we have more than 90 fighters under Golden Boy Promotions.
Wow.
Every single one can fight. But also is just a good citizen, a good human being, a good person outside the ring, which is pretty cool.
I'm calling BS. There's got to be one.
No, there's
none.
There
has to be one.
I think we released that one.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
What's the talent level like of athletes today who choose to be boxers?
The talent is, I mean, at the highest level, I mean, it's a lot of talent out there that's undiscovered.
Is there anyone out there who has the potential to be as good as you were, Oscar?
Yes. You know, I promote this kid right now. He's a redheaded Mexican, okay? Redheaded Mexican, good-looking kid. He's like Elvis right now in Mexico. It's crazy.
Okay.
He's going to be fighting November 21st at the Mandalay Bay. It's sold out like in one day. He's fighting Miguel Cotto. It's a huge fight. It's a big, big fight. And
what's his name?
His name is Saul Canelo. They call him Canelo because cinnamon. Yeah, redhead, you know. And, Canelo Alvarez. He's like the Elvis from Mexico. It's pretty crazy.
What do you think the biggest problem is from people going where he is to getting to where you were? Like, there are a lot of people who have that potential.
Right.
But then they never end up making it. Why?
I think it's
mental?
It's all mental. It's all mental because you can have all the physical attributes and you can work hard but it's all mental. You either make it or you break under pressure. You can sometimes let that success get to your head? I mean, you have to have your feet planted right on the ground. I mean, really firm. And a lot of these kids, I mean, they encounter, you know, the success and the money, and then they think, oh, well, you know, maybe I don't have to train as hard for my next fight. And what ends up happening is, you know, they end up losing the fights. They end up just losing themselves.
You won the gold medal in 92?
92, Barcelona.
And yep. Your mom had passed away.
She had passed away just, I mean, like a few months prior to that. And, yeah,
How does that not distract you?
You know, when she passed, some of her final words were, you know, go out there and get the gold for me.
Is that
so
right?
I was like, just like, woo. I mean, I was really, I get emotional now. It's like, but I get.
So it was the opposite of distracted.
Yeah, it was the opposite. Yeah. I did want to give up because I thought to myself, you know what? My mom's not here. So why? What for? Why am I going to do this? Forget it, you know? But then something in me told me, you know what? I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to stay on the right path, and I'm going to go and get the gold for her. And sure enough, I mean, I was there in Barcelona, and it was all a blur. It was crazy. It was all a blur. I don't know what happened. It was all a blur. And next thing you know it's like I have the gold medal around me.
This is the voice of Oscar De La Hoya, by the way, here on the Kevin DeBean Show, the golden boy himself. He has so much going on with the LA Fight Club that we've talked to you about on the show before, which is a lot of Friday nights coming up this fall, and a big fight this weekend. We got so much more we want to get into, Oscar. A quick break, and we'll return with our guests right after this.
All right.
It is our honor to be sitting with Oscar De La Hoya here on the Kevin DeBean Show this morning from Golden Boy Promotions. Oscar, we talked to you a few months ago about the LA Fight Club, which is a first Friday down at the Belasco Theater in downtown LA. And if I remember correctly, you told us that it's unlike anything else that's ever been presented in boxing. It's boxing plus nightclub all rolled into one, right?
Well, it's a nightclub atmosphere. So there's maybe about 1,200, 1,300 people. It's always sold out, every single one. And you remember the Fight Club with Edward Norton
yeah.
and we don't talk about it though, Brad Pitt.
We're not allowed.
Oh, see what you did?
And so it's like, you know, the Fight Club, you don't talk about it, you know, it's under a basement, you mm-hmm. know, and it's like that's the feeling, you know, it's like 1,200 people all cramped into a little room, you know, and the fights are just amazing. And what happens is we take the ring down and mm-hmm. it becomes a nightclub. So it's like packed with like 5,000 people.
Right?
It's crazy. Yeah. So, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Now, every 15 days. Why did you want to do that? Is that a memory for you of how you saw boxing coming up?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was remembering this the other day. The Grand Olympic Auditorium. Remember the Olympic Auditorium in downtown
sure.
LA?
I saw Rage Against the Machine just before they tore it
right,
down.
Right. Yeah. So there was boxing there like every Tuesday or Thursday. I remember my father. At 6 years old, when I was 6 years old, he would take me on a Tuesday night, a school night, Tuesday night, and he would just drop me off by the hot dog stand, you know, like, okay, you go and go make friends, whatever. I'm gonna go watch the fights. And so that's what I remember about the whole boxing nightclub atmosphere. It's like the Olympic Auditorium was just jam packed with like 6,000-7,000 people. And I remember just being there and just watching these fights. And, you know, it's so.
Is it possible he was just trying to get rid of you?
Maybe.
I'm saying,
I don't
like,
know.
Every
week he took you further and further away from your home to drop you off.
Yeah, son, you get out and make your way to wherever.
You go do your thing. Go buy your hot dog. Yeah, here's a quarter. Buy a hot dog.
All right, so the L.A. Fight Club is first Friday, so there's a show tonight that's sold out. Then the next one is November 6th, and then just December 4th after that. But you also right. have a couple of other great events
yes,
coming up, including
yes.
tomorrow night at the StubHub Center. Now, this is La Machina versus the Iceman. Tell me
the
about
machine.
This fight for
The Machine the versus machine. The Iceman. I mean, come on.
And this is a championship right? fight, right?
Yeah, this is a championship fight live on HBO Championship Boxing. And, the StubHub's almost sold out. It's going to be a great event, great fights. I urge a lot of people to watch it. But
who's your fighter in that? Or do you have
the Machine. The Machine.
The Machine
yeah,
is
got
your
the
man.
Machine. He's from Argentina. The biggest thing in Argentina. Him and Messi yeah. are like the biggest thing in Argentina. It's crazy.
Hmm. And Messi's pretty much a midget. But most popular.
Yeah, but most popular, exactly.
He's like 5 feet tall.
Yeah, so the Machine, the nicest guy ever, but when he gets in the ring, boy, man, he can knock anybody out. He's a great fighter. But then October 17th, live from Madison Square Garden, live on HBO pay-per-view, we have the return of the middleweight division. Champion versus champion. There's this fighter called Triple G. He's going up against David Lemieux. It's going to be two Mack trucks colliding. It's going to be amazing.
Is it a difficult thing to promote boxing? Is it more difficult to promote boxing now than it used to be? Because it used to be the biggest thing in the world, and right. now with UFC and stuff, it seems
there's
more work.
There's so much going on. Yeah. But actually, it's easier because you have social media, you have this, you have that. I mean, whoever thought that a fighter from Ukraine and a fighter from Canada can sell out
Madison Square Garden,
20,000 yeah. people at the Garden. It's crazy. And the Machina right here from Argentina and Postol, Victor Postol, the Iceman from the Ukraine is going to sell out the StubHub. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, and then Canelo Alvarez from Mexico and Cotto from Puerto Rico selling out Mandalay Bay in one day. I mean, it's boxing. Boxing, you know what? I mean, all we have to do with boxing is give the fight fans the best fights possible. And that's what we do at Golden Boy Promotions. We give you the best versus the best. And that's the way we're going to keep boxing relevant, you know, and keep growing.
By all those names you mentioned, obviously boxing is a huge international sport with fans all over the world. Why are there not more household names in boxing like there were when you were coming up, when everybody knew Ali and Frazier and Holyfield and Tyson and all those names? Where are those guys, do you think?
I think the Olympics has a lot to do with it. If you look at the Olympics, ever since, let's say, I fought, you know, NBC or whoever it was, they really haven't been promoting Olympic boxing.
Oh, really? So they didn't cover it as much?
So they didn't cover it as much. Yeah. You know, there weren't as many compelling stories as when I was fighting. For instance, you know, with my mother, she passed away from breast cancer. I dedicated the gold to her. So it was a great story. America, the world fell in love with the story, you know.
Right.
And obviously it helped that I won the gold. We need... I guess more coverage in the Olympics. We need better talent, obviously, and we need a better, I guess, team, Olympic team that's going to represent us in
Rio. It all goes back to the Olympics.
It goes
basically.
Back to the Olympics yeah. because that worldwide platform.
Yeah.
That the Olympics.
That's your launch.
Yeah, that's the launch. That's the launch, and from right there and then, I mean, you can build your career.
Are you friendly with Don King and other promoters, or is that an incredibly competitive business where you look at them as your enemies?
Well, you know, it actually used to be so competitive. It probably still is with Don King and Bob Arum. They're probably the oldest promoters and not the best of friends,
right.
you know. But one thing that I you know, I mean, had to convince myself to do is that I want to work with everybody. As long as I can make the best fights happen for the fans, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody. And so, I mean, this Saturday is a great indication. Bob Arum has Victor Postol, the Iceman, and I'm promoting Lucas Matisse, and we're working together, and we're giving the fight fans the best fights possible. So, no ego here. Ego is not my amigo.
You sound so happy with the life that you have right now, Oscar.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you know why I love it? Because here's a kid from East LA, okay? Humble beginnings, you know. I mean, my father was a hard worker. He supplied everything for us. We had food on the table, yes. But, you know, we grew up very humble. I was able to win the gold medal, change my life, money, fame, you know, glory, this and that. I reached, like, the pinnacle of my career, winning world titles, this and that. And then I kind of, like, encountered this phase of my life where I almost got lost. I almost got lost, and I almost lost everything, you know, because of certain, you know, paths that I took, and I was listening to certain people that were taking me down those wrong paths.
You had a lot more opportunity to go the wrong way.
Yes, yeah. yes. And one day I just told myself, you know what? I'm going to lift myself from the canvas, and I'm going to raise my hand to victory. I'm going to go up there and just fight and do what's right. And I'm living the dream now. I'm living the dream. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm at peace for the very first time in my life.
And no one's hitting you in the face.
Yes. Exactly.
It's pretty sweet.
Mike, you look 20. I don't know what you're doing, but it's unacceptable.
I have a good doctor.
Oh. Going
to
get that number.
All right. Before we say goodbye to Oscar, again, Matisse versus Postol, it's going to be tomorrow night for the WBC Super
yes.
Lightweight World Championship. This is going to be at the StubHub Center. There are still a few tickets left,
just
as Oscar said. They start at just 20. $77 bucks, by the way. If you want to see the fight up close, it's AXS.com. We're also going to give away – let me see. Do we have one pair, Kevin? Is that what we got?
Yes.
We got one pair right now. Two pair. Two pair. Callers 20 – and I'm glad I go to Kevin for backup.
Two pair.
Callers 20 and right. 21 right now to see some fighting. 1-800-520-1067. Man, that's going to be a great time tomorrow night. We'll definitely be watching that. Oscar, we love having you on the Kevin Beach. You've been very generous over the years to stop by and see us, and it's always a lot of fun. Do it again, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
By the way, coming up just after 9, we don't do this often, but we've got a listener who needs our help on a ruling of who's the dick. A listener was in a situation. I'm not involved in this at all. I wasn't there.
But we could write you in, right?
Right in Canada. A listener has reached out to us to ask us to weigh in on whether he was a dick or not because he's that sure. So we're going to talk to a man named Norm coming up right after the top of the hour. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning.
It's a dog eat dog world, Sam. And I'm wearing milk bone underpants.
Norm always had something to say when he came in.
Got nothing.
This is a Cheers.
You didn't
reference?
Watch Cheers?
I never watched Cheers. I didn't watch Cheers.
What?
You didn't watch Cheers?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that didn't watch Cheers.
Most of America watched Cheers.
Well, I didn't. Let's move on. Who cares? All right, I watched it then, and it was great.
No, you didn't.
It's too late now, man.
Stand the outrage. What am I supposed to do?
This is one of the great television comedies of all time.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. And you're a guy who watches television. Why are you looking at us like we're crazy? You're a guy who loves television, is obsessed with television, watches tons of television. We're talking about one of the biggest, greatest comedies of all time. And you're looking at us like we're nuts?
I'm looking at you like you're nuts because I feel like you're trying to talk me into watching something that's not on anymore. I can't do anything about it.
I didn't watch it at all.
What do you want from me?
Not to be so outraged that we're surprised that you never watched Cheers?
I never watched it, guys.
Well, you chose poorly once again. No way to run a life.
In a lot of ways.
That's all I'm saying. Bella Hadid.
I'm assuming.
Just greeting all my Muslim friends out there. No, that's somebody's name. Bella Hadid is sister, model of Gigi Hadid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good genetic family right there.
That's good genes.
She is a model herself. She is stunning, but she's more than that, Kevin.
So what?
Judging someone by their looks like that. How dare you say that about her? She's more than just a pretty face, Kevin. Looks like she could be headed to the 2016 Olympic Games. How about that?
As
she is an award-winning, nationally ranked equestrian.
Oh.
She's a horsewoman. She's in training to compete in the equestrian games at the Olympic Games next year. She says horses have the same effect on her as yoga. They make her bendy.
You need to think about that one for a while.
She's not the first celebrity horsewoman. Of course, there's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh.
Well played.
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's going to be a new TV show. Actually, it's not new at all. Second season of a TV show. Just got picked up by ABC from Mark Burnett, our friend Mark Burnett. 500 Questions is the name of the game. Did anybody watch 500 Questions when it was on the air?
No.
Kevin, be careful how you answer this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Me neither.
I did, if you're going to be mad.
No, 500 Questions isn't one of the most popular television shows in history. That's why I give you a pass on not having seen 500 Questions. I'm assuming someone needs to answer in the course of the game upwards of 500 questions?
I would guess so. I vaguely remember. I think they're not difficult questions, but it's easy to get tripped up along the way, and apparently it's a hard game to win. I don't remember the details.
Here's the thing. It averaged 4.8 million viewers in its first season.
No kidding.
So apparently it was very successful. ABC.
Wow.
It's coming back. And ABC, speaking to game shows, has just announced a new version of the classic game show, To Tell the Truth. You remember To Tell the Truth? Great, great concept. They would bring three people out.
Yeah.
Three gentlemen. Well, and the first guy would say, "My name is Bill McMethers, and I invented the anal probe." And then the second guy would say, "My name is Bill McMethers, and I invented the anal probe." And the third guy would say, "My name is Bill McMethers, and I invented the anal probe." And then a panel of celebrity guests would have to quiz each of them and try to figure out who really invented the anal probe.
And two of them are lying. And you're supposed to determine.
And it was always about an anal probe?
No.
Yes, every episode.
It was always a person who had some claim to fame, and then you had to try to discern which one was which.
Okay?
You wouldn't like it, Kevin. There's a lot of talking and thinking involved. Anyway, they're bringing it back. Looks like it's going to be hosted by Black-ish star Anthony Anderson on ABC. And his co-host...
Why are you already laughing?
Because can't she just sit down? Can't she just lay down? Betty White. Betty White apparently will be.
Oh, dear God.
Because she hasn't done enough television shows.
Sit down.
Sit down, Betty. Betty's earned a nice rest, is all I'm saying.
Is that the only time we've agreed with Trump?
I think so.
She enjoys working.
Okay.
Is her
well, what about us, the audience? What about what we enjoy?
Much of America enjoys watching her as well. And now that her Hot in Cleveland show isn't on anymore, she's looking for new opportunities.
And she invented the anal probe.
That's true, right? A lot of people don't know that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars are born on today. The second of Rocktober! That's what I'm talking about.
Right there.
I feel like Rocktober's been dropped a little bit over the past couple of days, so I'm here to represent, yo. And by the way, mother loving Halloween spooks.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Right? We're into that time of year, but it's only the second.
Yeah.
Right.
You should have brought it out on the first.
Right.
We did a little Two Eyeballs yesterday.
Yeah,
we'll
freaking eyeballs. That freaking eyeball song over spooks. Come on. Where are your priorities,
I promise
man?
You, both will get their due.
One didn't see you. Cheers. The other one's not playing spooks.
I know.
It's mad. It's a madhouse. It's chaos around here.
Don't you feel like many of our listeners enjoy the Halloween spooks? Others tolerate it. And you got to be,
no.
It's a very fine line to walk. You got to be very careful that you don't overspook them.
No, listen. There's not like and tolerate. There's like and hate.
No.
I don't think you can be overspooked.
Oh, right.
I have said that for years.
Yes. And more importantly, the Kevin Bean Show has never given people what they want.
Right. No, that's true. That is actually
it gives them what they need.
Right.
That's nice.
Next week, we'll get into some spooks.
Or the week after.
Some Halloween spooks.
Right.
All these stars.
A little bit here and there.
All these stars were born today. Sting is 64. Lorraine Bracco, 61. Karen! Karen, what did you do to Karen? We needed that, Karen! Thank you. It's my one-man Goodfellas.
I like it.
Brian Regan is 58 years old today. Kelly Ripa turns 45. Singer Tiffany, 44 years old today. And actress Camilla Bell. I remember going down the Mississippi on the Camilla Bell. I was playing poker with some gentlemen. They decided I may have been cheating with an ace or two up my sleeve. They did not take kindly to that action, and they tossed me off the back end of the Camilla Bell. I was almost struck with the paddle wheel, sir.
Is this a different one-man show you're doing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's my Reginald Hayforth, Riverboat Gambler. That's my new character.
Really? I hope you're more of it soon.
I am Reginald Hayforth, sir. I'm a gambler by profession, a gentleman by nature. I will board the Camilla Bell.
What's happening?
I'm on so many drugs right now. I'm Ralph Garman. I want your show to speak.
Hey, keep on listening to K-Rock. Your chance to win your way into the ex-ambassadors in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. That's a talented little band right there.
Yes,
those
it
guys.
Is.
Like those guys. I think we got a chance to interview them at the Weenie Roast this summer, and they were super nice. Anyway, they're going to be performing the Red Bull Sound Space, and you not only get to see them up close and personal down the hall from the K-Rock Studios, but you also are eligible to win a brand new Jeep Renegade. Get all the details at KRock.com. Your chance to win is coming up.
Most of the time when we play the game, who's the dick? It's Bean.
Always.
How dare you?
I've had one where I questioned, and I think I was okay on that one.
Yeah, you were not.
Yeah.
But now a listener,
you're not the dick.
Now a listener emailed us and is afraid that he's becoming bean-like.
Uh-oh.
And perhaps he was a dick.
How dare you.
So we're going to talk to Norm.
Now, you, Kevin, and Allie, you guys do not know what Norm is calling about. You do not
Correct.
Know what the question is. You'll be hearing this with fresh ears. I do have a tip as to some of the details of the story from the email, but I wanted to discuss it further with him on the air. Hey, Norm, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
He is a dick.
I appreciate you emailing us, and you did say in your note that you have been listening to the show for a long, long time, so thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, day one, man, day one.
Wow. Hey, Producer Dave just told us that you are talking to us from a hospital bed. What's going on there?
Oh, well, a couple weeks ago, I took a long drive and I got back, and anytime I did any kind of physical exertion, I couldn't really breathe, and so I put it off, and I finally went to a doctor a couple days ago. And
Who puts off if you can't breathe?
No, that's when I'm exerting myself. Just, you know, at rest, I'm okay, but, you know, doing any kind of thing like vacuuming, washing the car or something, I couldn't breathe.
Okay. So this is your way just to get out of chores, it sounds like. The only examples you give are vacuuming and washing the car.
Honey, I can't. I wish I could, but I got that breathing thing.
Well, bottom line,
are you gonna be okay, Norm?
I think so. Yeah, I got blood clots in my lungs, so they're just trying to get the blood thinned out. So,
well, we feeling good about this now.
Yeah, I don't think I want to rule Dick.
We can't rule against him because then what if he dies immediately?
Right?
That's the last thing that happens. That would suck.
All right. So let's get to your issue. So remarkably, it has to do with your health because it happened, in a gym?
Was it a gym?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I belonged to a gym, and it was about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was walking through the gym, and I saw this woman, and she was obviously very pregnant. She's about maybe 30, 35 years old. I'm an older guy. I'm in my mid-50s, and I saw her, and I immediately thought of a joke, and I walked up to her, and I said, excuse me. And at the time, I didn't know she was wearing earbuds, okay? I probably wouldn't have done it if I'd known that because I didn't want to, you know. I mean, people do that in the gym a lot of times to keep people away. So anyway, she took them off, and I said, hey, I'm really good at predictions. I said, I predict if you keep working out in 3 or 4 months, and at this time, I'm looking at her tummy, okay, her swollen tummy. I said, I predict in 3 or 4 months, you're going to lose about 10 pounds. And she gave me a look, and she did one of those things where you kind of pull your head back a little bit, nod a little, go, okay, you know? And I thought, you know, I meant this in a very lighthearted, humorous manner.
Now, you were making a joke about the fact that she was going to have a baby soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right? No big deal. And she didn't like it. And she wasn't as aggressive towards me being as that gal on the ferry was towards you with a response.
So there was no F you, but you could tell she didn't like it. You said in your email that she gave you a disgusted look.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, yeah. And so I thought, oh, God. So I immediately turned to leave, and I felt humiliated and embarrassed. And I immediately thought about your experience on the ferry being, and I thought, oh, my God, I think I just beamed somebody.
Mm.
Okay,
well,
I don't know that needs to be a verb.
Nobody wants to beam
a thing.
Never go
for
right. Bean.
So if you have the reverb ready here, Kevin, I think the question we're asking about loyal listener Norm is, who's the dick? What do you guys think? He is making a lighthearted comment to a woman at the gym about her having a baby. She was disgusted with
him. Here's where my spidey senses just went into overdrive. When you said the words, she was obviously pregnant. Never, ever assume a woman is pregnant ever.
That was my one question is, was she indeed pregnant?
Well, I think she was.
Oh,
sweet Jesus.
This is a sort of an important part.
Because that joke is not funny to begin with, but it's really not funny
really
if she's not pregnant.
Wait, that joke wasn't funny, Bean?
Look, here's the thing. I haven't heard Allie's ruling yet.
He's
but I'll
on
just
his
say
deathbed, Bean. Just tell him it was a good joke.
If you're asking me, Norm, here's the thing that I know, is that women are very, very prickly and private about their pregnancy. Most women don't want any strangers to comment on how they look or what they think about them being pregnant. They don't know you, and they don't care about what you think about them being pregnant. I just think that is – and this is me speaking, a guy who has no sense of decorum. I think anytime you're getting involved in talking to a stranger about her pregnancy, I think it's a landmine, dude. I really do. That's just me.
Well, you know what? I hadn't told my wife about this. And then when Dave said, hey, we're going to talk to you about this, I mentioned it to her at dinner a couple nights ago. And basically, that's what she told me. First of all, she said, you never talk to a pregnant woman about weight. Secondly, she said, all women at the gym, they don't want to talk to guys. That's why they wear their earbuds, and especially, quote-unquote, older guys. Apparently, we're the creepiest of all creeps. I don't know. Charlie, I don't know if you can confirm that or not.
I don't go to gyms, first of all. But I will say this. Never, even if she is in a hospital and she's got her feet in the stirrups, don't assume she's pregnant.
And there's a baby's head.
You can see the baby's crowning. Still don't assume.
Do not make that assumption.
Do not.
All right. Let's go around the room. We're out of time with Lister Norm. I'm sorry to say that I believe that Norm was the dick that time. What do you think, Allie?
Coming from Bean? Not
intentionally. I'm not saying you had anything but the best of intentions. You were trying to just make a lighthearted joke to make everyone laugh and improve the world, but I'm sorry you misjudged the room that time, Norm.
Wow.
Norm, I think
Allie, what say you?
I think you're a delight, but in this case, you were the dick.
All right, Kevin?
Norm, dick.
Kevin, come on. What? No, I demand a recount.
Right. There's only three votes. How long did that take? All right, let's do it again. Back Bean, what's your vote?
Still a dick.
All right, Allie?
Boy. Dick.
Dick.
Well, geez. What about Chip? What about Ralph? What about Dave? Dave's
dick.
On my side.
Norm, we love you. We thank you for listening. We thank you for writing, but not this time, my friend. Have a good day. I hope you get out of the hospital soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Allie?
Yeah.
Hey, keep shaking that weight, baby.
How dare you?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
One final look at the showbiz beat for a Friday morning. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
Bill Burr, one of the funniest comedians working today. And on top of it, a really nice guy. A lot of comedians have issues they're working through. Bill doesn't strike me as one of those guys. And if you have never seen him live, you are doing yourself a huge disservice. And I'm here to correct that. Bill Burr will be performing at the Orpheum Theater December the 31st, New Year's Eve, with an early and a late show. And I'd like to give you a pair of tickets to see him.
Yay!
On New Year's Eve at the Orpheum. So why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through at that phone number. We'll get a pair of tickets. You'll be able to choose the early or late show, your choice. And you will have a good time, I guarantee. So give us a call right now to go see Bill Burr at the Orpheum. And if you don't win, don't feel badly, because you can go to Ticketmaster.com. And tickets for both shows go on sale today. I don't know what time, but I'm assuming 10 a.m. maybe?
It's either 10 or noon, almost always.
It's almost always. So. If it's not there at 10, go back at noon. If it is there at 10, then buy your tickets. Do I have to do everything for you people? Dear Lord. A lot of people, by the way, demanding more Reginald Hayforth.
I'm in.
Yes.
Riverboat Gambler.
I think everybody in this room is in as well.
I think we may have to make an ongoing series. It's been a long time since there's been a radio series.
Yes.
But I think Reginald deserves his own series. Yeah. The Adventures of Reginald Hayforth, Riverboat Gambler.
I like it.
Who knows what kind of wacky shenanigans he could get into. I'm a gambler by profession, sir, but a gentleman by nature. Plankers, pulls a Derringer out of his hat. You don't know what could happen.
He's going up and down the Mississippi River. Reggie. He's got a different situation to deal with at every port.
Yeah.
He's got women all up and down the river.
Oh, does he ever. Ladies love Reginald.
He's a player.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Oh, has anticipation ever been greater for any feature film ever than this?
I would guess not.
I think this is the most anticipated film ever. And every little fact that sneaks out becomes a story. This comes from radio.com. You can check out the story for yourself if you want to. But apparently, thanks to merchandising, we are finding out more and more about some ancillary characters from this film. The latest one everyone is talking about is a X-Wing starfighter pilot for the Resistance named Eloasti. Eloasti. And people are saying, why is that name significant? Where did it come from? Well, we may now know. Turns out J.J. Abrams is a huge Beastie Boys fan. You may remember that young Jim Kirk in the reboot of Star Trek was seen driving his convertible blasting Sabotage.
That's right.
At 11. As he drove his car, and JJ is a huge Beastie Boys fan, so people saying the character of Eloasti could in fact be an homage to the 1998 Beastie Boys album Hello Nasty, and he simply took the H and the N off the first two words.
Hmm.
Eloasti. is the name of the character. Another clue, written on his helmet is scrawled, "Born to Ill." A nod to, of course, the Beastie's album, License to Ill. So it looks like Beastie Boys are going to be well represented in the next Star Wars film.
It's good.
That would be one of the fun things about writing fiction, is being able to name all your characters in books and movies and things like that, and inside jokes and paying homage to your friends and family and stuff like that.
Call one L-O-S-D.
Right.
Now, another theory is that L-O-S-D, L-O-S-T,
Lost.
Lost.
Which, Kevin, is an homage
to Lost.
Yes.
To the TV show Lost.
Yes, which was created by
J.J. Abrams.
Look at Kevin, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I don't feel like I should be applauded for that.
So either way, looks like there's some cool Easter eggs coming up in the next film.
Kevin, you met J.J. Abrams on the set of Pink Fruit Mountain, if I recall.
Yeah.
He was making that movie.
Boy, that was one of my favorite science fiction films. That giant pink fruit mountain that just shoots up out of the ground, comes out of nowhere.
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
That's right. It's a great film.
My favorite.
Billy Joe Armstrong has a couple sons. One of them, Joey, is a drummer. The other one, 16-year-old Jacob, is about to release his debut EP. Must be nice to be 16 years old and have your own EP ready to drop. It's coming out on Burger Records. It doesn't say here exactly when it's coming out, but he's about to release it. Anyway, some of the singles are starting to show up online. You can find these on YouTube, a couple of the songs from Jacob Danger, as he goes by professionally. And I got to tell you, it's pretty encouraging what I'm hearing so far. There's one of the songs up on YouTube is called King of the World. Features Jacob singing and has written the song, and his older brother Joey is actually drumming on this track as well. We thought we might want to take a little listen to. Here is Jacob Danger with his song King of the World.
1, 2, 3, 4, you're the danger, queen of the world. You never waste your time on a young rock and roller.
No, that's so incredible. What's that? Cool. That's not the Jacob Danger.
That's not the clip?
Isn't that high school Ralph in his band, Revolver?
No, that's the 13-year-old Ralph.
Wow. 13-year-old Ralph with Revolver.
Yeah, with my junior high school band, Revolver.
All right, let's compare that to this.
Yeah.
Don't get upset, it's just the way I am inside, but I just want you to be real. You just want to be the king of the world. You have all these friends and get all the girls.
That's pretty strong.
It's very strong.
It's very classic Rocky. Sounds like it could come out in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or today. Kind of traditional.
So at any time.
That's not much of a...
You've narrowed it down for us.
I'm just saying it's a timeless kind of rock and roll music. It doesn't sound like something that's necessarily 2015, like following today's trends. It's just good old basic garage band rock and roll. It's not a bad thing.
Wow.
Wake up, Ralph.
That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thanks.
And F fashion, right? I've been saying my whole life, F fashion.
You have been saying that.
F fashion. Fashion is a scam. Fashion is a con job. Fashion, they make you buy things by telling you that you have to have it.
And then they immediately turn on.
And then they say, what? You're still wearing that? Nobody's wearing that anymore. That was yesterday. Today we're wearing this. And then you have to go buy that. It's a scam. It's a con job.
They're not trying to get us out of cargo shorts again, are they?
Ugh. So I wish somebody would. Proof positive. A designer named Rick Owens had a show in Paris yesterday. And here's what was walking down the catwalk at the Rick Owens show. Models wearing other models.
What?
His models showed up with other models strapped to their backs. Like a human backpack. Or strapped to the front of them, like some demented, grown-up baby Bjorn.
Oh, f*** you.
So the models walk down the runway with other models draped over them. Models wearing models.
Is that someone being funny?
Oh, Kevin, wait for it. The best part. The theme of his fashion show? Women supporting women. See? Because some of the women were carrying the other women.
Wow.
And so it was a... There was a deeper meaning. There was a message.
Wow.
Message.
What is left for Zoolander to make fun of?
I have no idea.
Wow.
Luckily, I will not be going to see that film, so I'll be fine.
I'll tell you all about it. Don't worry.
Oh, you seen the trailer for that?
What? There's a... What? I don't spell it like that. Ugh.
Sweet heaven.
Looks terrible.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Kevin's going now. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, the 2nd of Rocktober. Sting, 64 years old today. Sting. Kevin, of course, his real name is?
Sting.
Is that correct?
Likely, Kevin?
Let's try that again. Yeah,
come on. You, come on now.
No, you come on now. Let's try that again. His real name, of course, is...
Paul Bettencourt.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't even know who that is.
His real name is Gordon Sumner.
Right.
Gordon Sumner.
That's what I
meant.
Sting's
real name. Lorraine Bracco is 61 years old today. Brian Regan, the very funny comedian, is 58. Kelly Ripa from Kelly and Danny. He's 45 years old today.
It's Michael.
It's too many changes over there. I can't keep up. Tiffany, 44 years old today. She, of course, legendarily the singer of the song, Kevin.
We're alone and separated by...
Oh, so
what?
Close!
I wasn't done.
He's not done yet, Allie. Don't ruin it.
I feel like maybe I should be done, though.
We're alone, separated by...
I was going to say 100 miles, but I'm pretty sure that's probably not the case.
Very close. I think we're alone now.
I think we're alone now. I got alone. Come on.
That's actress, why I'm so excited.
Camilla Bell is 29.
I win that one.
I remember my time on the Camilla Bell. I would travel up and down the mighty Mississippi, wagering for a living, playing a gentleman's game, poker, if you will, sir. I am Reginald Aforth, riverboat gambler.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show.
Ralph, I want you to get no sleep always.
I haven't slept in a week. Woohoo!
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on Monday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good morning, douchebag.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
These dollar bills aren't going to stick themselves in a thong.
Roll another one.
Yuck.
Just like the other one.
I would totally watch that.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Is it cookie?
And I need another hit.
Keep this. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it. Don't chew. Just let it dissolve. Hold. Hold.
So good physically. I'm
hold. Now chew, chew, chew.
Roll.
Roll.
Roll another one.
My thoughts are, who cares?
Just like the other one.
Holy moly.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's the most Jewish thing I've ever heard.
I don't have.
I don't even know what they call it where you're from, but around the rest of the world, you're an asshole.
What are you old weirdos talking about?
Just pass it around.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
I like to stay current.
Just pass it.
No, not doing it. Not anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I'm going home. I'm done.
This conversation is hurtful. And out of respect to my boundaries, I am going.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this is going on. What do... What? Oh, my God, Jay. I'm f***ing shaking, buddy. Oh, look at my feet. It's shaking, kid. Oh, man. Oh, I gotta shut this off right now.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, as they used to say at the freshman mixer... When you get a yes, you go home.
Good times.